Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
How we doing out there? It's a completely unnecessary podcast for Tuesday, February 17th, 2020. Spring is almost here. Spring's almost sprung alongside Ian Ferguson.
When is spring? What, March 22nd?
Yeah. I'm Pat Contry. On the show today, we'll be talking about the Intellivision Miko gameplay trailer. We haven't watched it yet. New movies available for viewing at home because of the COVID 19 going on, and of course a scumbag cell of the week that's going to be associated with COVID-19. It's a COVID-19 theme show for
it
reasons.
It is.
And a Patreon poll topic and a Q&A topic. Ian, how was your weekend?
It was fine, but I wanted to let you know that Reggie the Hedgie was not on America's Funniest People.
Okay.
It was on Animal Crack-Ups.
Okay, sorry. This is Ian. Let the audience know why you're bringing it up. So before the podcast, I'm like, I brought up Reggie the Hedgehog or Reggie
because Pat planted a seed in my head and knows that I'm going to have to try.
And I thought Reggie the Hedgie was from America's Funniest People.
No, no, no. Animal Crack-Ups is an ABC game show. Blah 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 blah. Oh, where the hell is this Hedgie? Reggie the Hedgie showed up during commercial breaks.
Okay, great, Ian. A little bit of levity to start this show.
Alan and Todd Thicke were the hosts. Alan Thicke was the host.
I swear to God, it was on America's Funniest.
I don't know. When I searched Reggie the Hedgehog, all I got was a bunch of Sonic fan characters.
Oh, okay. Well, they stole that from Reggie the Hedgie because it was Reggie the Hedgie.
Nothing, man. I looked for Reggie the Hedgehog, America's Funniest Home People, and the first thing I got was Animal Crackup.
Okay. So, how's everyone doing out there?
America's Funniest People has got 2 out of 5 stars.
Wasn't that good?
No, it wasn't good at all.
It was like going to the mall and saying, hey, do something wacky. America's Funniest Home Videos was funny because that was like real stuff. America's Funniest People was like, hey, do your wacky act for us for 30 seconds.
Can you fucking debase yourself on national TV for a couple of bucks?
While the Funniest Home Videos was people getting wiffle ball bat shots to the groin by accident, so it was hysterical.
Accident.
They were accidents in here. Then you went. Then the fans would come in the studio audience and win. It was like $10,000 for first place, or like 5 for second, and like 2 for third, and they would do that.
Yep.
But they would announce like the second place winner first. Then it was between the first and the third, so it was weird. Like you knew what was going to win. It wasn't ever a surprise between the first and the third.
No,
I don't know how I remember that detail. Even as a 7-year-old, I'm like, what the?
I said, I clearly remember it,
make any
it now,
sense.
But I would not have remembered if you hadn't brought it up.
If 9-year-old thick but quick Pat could realize that was a flaw in the show, producers, come on, ABC, what are you doing? Sorry. So, yeah, we have a worldwide pandemic going on here. And probably saying that alone means the YouTube version is demonetized here. I want to make sure out there that everyone treats this the way you should. You should treat it with precaution, but obviously not panic. We got to hit that sweet spot in the middle there. So what does that mean? Is for someone like me, I don't go out that much to begin with. But in general, as much as you can, you should probably stay out of public areas.
Yeah.
That's a smart thing to do. If you're an introvert like Ian, then it's natural to you, right? You don't have to.
I go out quite a bit.
Actually, you probably go out more than me.
I go out a lot.
<this point. laughs> But either way, the whole point of this is that most of the people listening to this, even if you contracted this COVID-19, no, you're not going to die, but it's not about you. It's about the collective. It's about everyone else. It's about the herd when it comes down to this.
Yeah, stay in. When you go to the grocery store, resist the urge to pick up 5 of something just because you see it. You don't need it.
Yes. There's no need to panic by. This isn't a natural disaster where, you know, a hurricane hits a state and it wipes out, you know, supermarkets for a week or two. Distribution is going to keep going of goods and food. That's not what this is about. So I'm hoping that most of our listeners already know this. I like to think that we curate a sort of higher quality listener, that a higher capacity.
A supreme clientele.
So like for things like seeing people rush out to Costco and buy, literally buying 12, 24 packs of toilet paper, you'd run out of food before toilet paper if there was a shortage. So
you don't ship that much in a year.
I was going to say, you probably could eat the toilet paper if you had to. You probably could. It's fiber, but you probably wouldn't want to. And add it to a broth maybe and get it in there. But the whole point is that live your life, even with these restrictions, as normally as you can. And we all deal with it on the same level here. And try not to put a pain on others by buying too much when the little old lady wants to go to the store and there's nothing to buy there. That's the whole point. It's like, don't make it hard on grandma, who should maybe be staying home anyway. So maybe if you know some older people, maybe check in on them. Hey, you need anything? You need some canned goods? You need something? You know?
So, yeah, stay home. I mean, if there's one thing I can say about our listeners is that they all probably have a backlog of video games or a backlog of music or a backlog of books. Now is the time to get through that. Stay home. Don't put yourself at risk, but more importantly, if you're young and healthy, don't put other people at risk. Don't put the kids in your life. Don't put the elderly people in your life at risk. Stay home. Order food. Order food from your favorite local restaurant that's doing takeout still. Look around your neighborhood. Lots of places are doing takeout specials. Support businesses the best you can while sitting in your living room doing nothing.
Sure. I can honestly see sometime soon where we'll just shut restaurants entirely besides takeout and probably delivery at some point. So you can, still order a pizza, still order some Chinese food. If you're feeling it, order some Ortiz's Mexican. I did it a few days ago. I mean, but it's already changing the way we're operating. I mean, I went to local Sprouts on Friday after the gym. I went to Sprouts. It was the first time I went to the supermarket before it really got serious for people. And then it was not panic level, but it was like a notch below. It was 3 times as busy as it normally was. And then when I went to the cashier, there was no bananas, which to me was funny because bananas have a half-life of like 24 hours. I thought that was funny. I was like, I want like 3 bananas to eat, Ian, and there was no bananas there.
Bananas go from good to we should be making banana bread very, very quickly.
Yes, or banana mush, I guess. I still remember my grandma walking to my grandma's house and the bananas were black there, but she said that was a type of bananas that was like, no, they're black, grandma. I still remember that. Sorry. Anyway, when I was 4, terrified me for some reason seeing like 6 bananas that were black in a bunch.
Hey, you use those for banana bread though.
You can? Okay.
Oh, you've never made banana bread?
No, Ian. I think my mom did a few times. You're the baker of the group, Ian.
I'm not though. I'm a cook.
By the way, Ian, did you bring me cornbread?
No, I didn't bring you cornbread. I have to get more cornmeal today at the grocery store when I go to pick up my medicine. Cornbread does not sit.
Cornbread doesn't sit?
It gets dry and stale if you don't eat all that shit right away.
I did not know that.
Cornbread's delicious, but yeah.
You can't re-microwave it with like a paper towel, with a moist paper towel?
Yeah, that might be all right. But let me perfect this cornbread.
Okay. Just start tweeting it out that Pat's hungry. Needs cornbread. Anyway, so I was at Sprouts, and so like I said, it was not panic level, but the cashier said, well, you weren't here like 20 minutes ago when the line for the cashiers was like going to the back of the store. And I was like, oh. So it was like in sort of panic mode, and she said the canned goods were all gone.
Yeah, when I walked into, I was talking to you that day because I was walking into Barron's to get some stuff to cook, and have you ever been to Barron's?
No.
Okay. I like Barron's.
I've not been to that chain before.
It's a good little supermarket. I have never, when you go to Barron's, there's usually one person doing checkout.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they'll call on a second person for like 5 minutes to clear it out. All 5 registers were just lines packed with people checking out. And yeah, the canned goods area was completely decimated. I've never seen that much empty space.
Well, here's the good news. This stuff gets resupplied. It's not like they only drop off stuff once a month. There's stuff coming on the way. So
yeah,
if you're concerned about the panic buyers, they can't keep panic buying because they're running out of space and money. You can't just stock 1,000 cans of Campbell's soup. Then it gets silly. And that's the one concerning thing about this is that you hope that when things like this happen, people follow science and they follow the experts and realize that, hey, it's not like I need a bomb shelter to get through this, but people don't, unfortunately, and they go out and they panic buy things like toilet paper for no reason. But the panic buying can't sustain because you don't need that much food. Again, We're not Burt Gummer from Tremors having his little, you know, his little bomb shelter. Not little. If I saw Tremors 3, I'd bring out. We're going to Tremors deep dive one of these weeks. But we're not. You're not all Burt Gummer out there. You're just, you know. I know some people are scared, but listen to the experts. Listen to the scientists. Make sure you have the right facts. Look at the people that are explaining the math. There was a Washington Post article that went everywhere about little balls, about what the difference between the balls hitting each other and spreading and changing color.
Balls spreading.
In a tank, yes. Ball spreading. Not balls.
Being the super spreader.
Not Ian's ball spreading from past. But there was a nice little article with four graphs with random little tanks of colored balls. And when they hit each other, they turn color to say that, hey, this ball's now infected. And there's a cure rate and it turns back. And there was differences between, okay, we do no quarantine or isolation. We do a little bit isolation or a lot of isolation. And you see the numbers. And it's math in front of your eyes of randomness. And that's what this is. This is a math game. If you want to
make a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. So that's one why I understand people out there that think they're smarter than people that have studied this their whole life, but you're not. As bluntly as I can say that, listen to the experts. Listen to the people that study viruses and the spread of diseases, infectious diseases.
I'm so fucking tired of this trend in this country where people are like, man, I don't need to listen to experts. I'm just going to go with my gut.
Yeah. And it's not from all dumb people, unfortunately. It's from people that are actually intelligent. That's the more you learn. It's from people that actually have a sense about other things. But when it comes to some of these things, it's either, well, I want to think it's going to be okay, so I'm not going to worry about it, or I'm going to say bad information, or I'm going to tweet out or put a meme on Facebook that's bullshit. You know, it's like listen to the people that are forewarning you for a reason, that have studied this stuff for a long time, and look at what is happening in other countries. There's no plausible reason why we can't get as bad as Italy if we don't get a handle on this.
That's our curve is the same so far.
The math curve of exponential growth is the same.
The curve from the curve that was in China, then in Italy, then in France. That's how it's going, and we're, I think, a week behind France is what they were saying.
So an exponential growth, if people don't remember from math or algebra, is that it's not a simple arithmetic curve or geometric where you're multiplying by a single number. It spreads and you multiply. So that means, you know, it's 2 times 4 is 8, but then it's, you know, 8 times 2 is 16. 16 times 2 is 32. So along the same timeline...
I was paying close attention to your Pat math.
That was correct Pat math, though.
Just to make sure.
The whole point is that the total amount then doubles, and then that amount then doubles. That's exponential growth. And you can go to infinity pretty quickly when you keep doubling. Pretty quickly, you'll go to a huge number that's hard to calculate out, especially when it comes to a population. And that's the difference between this. And again, it's not about just you personally. It's about people that are either sick or infirm or are immunocompromised. Say they're a cancer survivor and they're compromised, their immune system. Say you're just a person that you get sick a lot for whatever reason. You know, some people are just like that. This is the concern for them, not necessarily me or Ian. We might be fine if we contract this, but it's not about us. That's a selfish way of thinking. It's just not about it. I mean, when I was at Sprouts, Ian, I was literally like, oh my God, I should like take 4 feet back from this old person walking through. Just in case. I literally started doing that. I was like, okay, you got white hair. Pat's going to stay like 8 feet away from you. Just in case.
Yeah, this trip to Ralph's I have to take after the podcast to refill my medication is going to be like a fucking stealth mission in a video game. I'm just going to slink around and try to grab some chicken, my meds.
That's the advice to me. Okay, so the old people now are enemy video game characters, and you stay away
from
them.
You're playing Metal Gear COVID.
Yes.
Okay, Metal Gear COVID. Yes. It's the name of the game.
When a person with white hair comes, the alarm goes off, and you got to hide from them. As silly as that sounds, that's the mentality that you kind of have to work with when it comes to something like this. You know, I mean, I went to the UPS store and then two old people walked in. They're probably like 75. This is kind of an older area where I live here in San Diego. And I just sort of like stayed back. But my thought was, do they know, like, you know, the stakes at this
point?
That
it's Christmas?
No.
After all.
We keep it light when it comes to the COVID on the CU podcast. But like, do they know? Do we all know the risks? And it's not that I'm going to go around preaching to people, but when I'm talking to people now, I just bring it up to make sure, like, you know, not saying you should panic, but you know the potential severity of the situation. It's just to be taking precaution. I called my dad a few days ago, Ian. This is great. And so I called my dad, and my dad is like, I don't want to say he's dumb. My dad might listen to this because my mom listens to all the podcasts. But my dad, I'd say, was too easily influenced by certain outside factors. We'll just say, I don't want to cough near you, but Fox News. I try to say to him, but even on Fox News by this point, they're taking it seriously, and there are Republicans and conservatives taking
Jesse
it seriously.
Jesse Waters, that fucking shit heel, came out yesterday and be like, I should have taken it seriously from the beginning.
Is he the guy that's absolutely nuts?
I don't know. They're all absolutely fucking nuts. Just type in Jesse Waters. You'll know okay. The one I'm talking about.
Is he the
about.
One that had Destiny on?
But it's, one time? It's just like, you got, all it is you got your fucking marching orders, bud.
So I told my dad, hey, Dad, you and Mom should probably, as much as possible, stay out of public areas. As much as my kid. And my dad was like, okay. And then I found out 2 days later from my sister that the day after I talked to him, he went to the gym. So then my mom had to yell at him, like, what are you doing? Especially in their county where they live, there are confirmed cases on top of it. And if the number of confirmed cases is that it's not the number of people that actually have it. You have to reiterate that.
Keep in mind, we have not nearly enough tests to go around.
When you say there's 50 confirmed cases, Ian, what that means is that people actually went to get the test from the doctor or hospital. That doesn't mean that's the only people that have it.
And they weren't turned away. Because lots of people, there's stories of people being turned away being like, well,
We're about 6 to 7 weeks behind on where we should have been when it comes to this. If we acted quickly end of January, we knew this was a bigger threat. We probably be in a better position now, but you can't go backwards. The whole point is that the numbers aren't what they look like. There are a lot more people that had this. But anyway, not to scare people, but that's just the truth of the situation. But anyway, so my mom had to be the voice of reason and say, like, what the hell are you doing? So hopefully my dad snaps out of it because my parents are over 70. When you look at the math, over 70, if you get it, it's like, you know, that could be like an 8% chance they may not recover from it. So it's like, that's not a good roll of the dice there on the Dungeons and Dragons.
8 out of 100.
What Pat Math, how much, what is that, 16 times 8? 14, 13 times 8, 13. There's like 14 on the die.
You fucking lost me.
I was just saying, if you're rolling the dice, you know, to get the one bad number, you need like 14 dice to get to 100 if it's 8%. But that math is totally off. It's like,
oh, sure. Or you could use 520 sided die. You need to get to 100, right?
Sure, you can do that. Yeah. Wait a minute. What? Yeah. If it was a 1% chance, you'd use a 520 sided die. We're right. Doing a math exercise now. Ian's trying to throw me off.
My Pat
math was solid on the exponential explanation, though, wasn't it?
I guess it was fine.
It was textbook Pat math when it comes to that.
I fucking glaze over like a donut when you start saying numbers.
So the world's going to be just a little bit different the next probably 2 months, maybe three, by estimates. And it might be longer than that. I mean, entertainment's basically canceled at this point, postponed when it comes to new entertainment. All sports, Vegas is shutting down. There's probably not going to be any cruises or anything like that. All movies got pushed back, new movies. That Fast and Furious movie, damn it, I wanted to see Cena. It's next April now. We've got pushed back there. So we got to make do with what we have. We have tons of video games. We've got Netflix. We've got Amazon Prime. Catch up on your Tremors. Your Tremors, it's not, what's six numbers? A double trilogy? Sexology? What is it when it's six? Something like that? I'll just call it the Tremor Sexology, because that just sounds sexy.
Buy lots of condoms.
Okay, sure. We'll see how many kids explode the population.
There's totally going to be a coronavirus boom.
You think so?
Yes.
For people just staying home?
Yes. Yes, there's going to be a coronavirus boom.
I don't have any partners here, but besides Where's My Keys Mario and Who Clocked the Toilet Luigi. I'm all alone here, Ian. Come on. You make me feel bad now. Anyway, not saying that I need to have a house party here. But you're right, though. You're actually right about that. There's going to be a little uptick next year in babies, I think.
A lot of people staying home with not a lot to do.
Virus babies, yep. We're going to have next year there. So, WrestleMania is... WrestleMania is still going on. The show must go on, WrestleMania. The Raws and SmackDowns now at wrestling events are now in empty arenas that they're doing.
Yep.
And it's really awkward. I mean, supposedly the shows are still pretty good, but like I think on Raw last night, they re-showed the Royal Rumble in its entirety. They had one new match. and they had a few promos and things like that to get through it.
So yeah, the whole sporting events without audiences is kind of crazy. When they said
sports
that,
entertainment,
yeah, when they said they were going to do that for the NCAA tournament, I was like, no fucking way.
To save it.
Well, one, I knew it was just going to get canceled, but I mean, that's how quickly things are changing and how quickly people's understanding of this being serious is changing. You know, the NCAA went from, oh, yeah, we're still going to do it. We're just not going to do it in front of people to less than 24 hours later. Well, you know what? It's canceled. It's canceled. We're done.
Well, after the NBA did it, they're like, we can't do it if the NBA postponed it. But the problem is, well, NBA can postpone because the players are under contract. These are kids that are leaving school.
Yeah.
But you can't bring the kids back, you know, 6 months from now to play the game.
Seeing anything that normally has a crowd without a crowd is going to be weird. I imagine that WrestleMania without a crowd will be a very, very strange thing because it's going to be at the Performance Center.
Yeah, they're going to do in the Performance Center, which is small. I think it's a crowd. I think the capacity is a few hundred, 500,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, it's small. It's where NXT is out of or used to be out of.
What I heard is they'll probably blacken the lights around the ring to focus on the ring, which used to be boxing. The boxing events do that. And
sure.
UFC did that. Before the UFC canceled their events, they had one last one in Brazil on Saturday, and they did that. It's not as bad when it's something like that because you're not looking at the crowd anyway, usually during a fight. But yeah, it was literally people in the first few rows that are watching and no one behind. And when Michael Bisping on commentary was like going, oh, look at that, you heard it echo throughout the arena. So it was bizarre.
Weird.
So you knew that there was like 35, 40 people that are there. You have the judges and the doctors. But the issue is that you still have a gathering of people. So I heard, you know, why are you canceling, you know, racing events and why are you canceling golf events? Well, it's not just about the attendees, it's about the people that have to come to put it on. You have volunteers, you have staff, you have people getting the food. It's still hundreds of people putting these events on that are gathering together, besides the players. And everyone's still traveling, especially if you're a golfer internationally, you're traveling. So it just makes it untenable to do that. It's like you either do it or you don't entirely. There's kind of no middle ground when it comes to these things. And that's the one argument I see from people. It's like, whoa, why don't you just shut down all the, you know, retail and do all that? I'm like, we might get to that point because that's what they're doing in countries where it's bad. They're shutting down everything. China was shutting down their economic industry. They were shutting it down to make sure. You know, they were doing their draconian measures. But in this case, that's the one thing that would make it go away as quickly as possible.
Well, North California has already done that. Bay Area has got shelter in place activated. Activated. Fucking activated. Like it's a fucking button.
Wonder Twins?
Press. Yeah. It's a button you hit.
Activated.
But, I mean, yeah, six counties, Bay Area, you are supposed to stay at home and all non-essential businesses are closed.
Yeah. We're getting there. The problem is the U.S. is so much different than other countries. We have 50 states. We're so spread out geographically versus other nations that we're a larger bureaucracy of 50 smaller governments, so it makes it a little bit weirder because of that. But, I mean, they've canceled the local conventions, but they came different times. But we're going to get there where everything's going to be, I think, locked down for a
bit. Let's you and I make a concerted effort for the rest of this podcast. We're going to go fucking nuts. Not to touch our faces.
Just touched my nose.
I'm like,
sorry.
I'm touching my face.
I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
I touched with a tissue.
I touched mine, and then I looked over and saw you touch yours.
But I washed my hands, like, before the podcast.
Yeah, so did I. But
I'm spreading my own germs. Okay.
Let's see what we can do.
I'll do this. Okay.
Let's see what we can do.
I have had a sneeze the past week. That's actually good, though, because sneeze is not as a common symptom of the COVID-19. So I was like, okay, I got, like, a light cold. That's good. That's a good thing. I'm just spraying the cold that you need.
Just a fucking base coat.
And just to let you know, if we actually measured, we're probably about 4 feet apart right now, not six. But, you know, we have a risk factor when it comes to the CU podcast, because we love you all. We want to do this.
Doing this for you.
That's the reason why we want to talk about, like, you know, how bad it's going to be to see Roman Reigns versus Goldberg in an empty arena. It would have been really bad to begin with. Now it's going to be super bad to see that match happen.
Yep. Yep. That's not going to be good.
Good thing they took the title off Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
With another part-timer.
For Roman Reigns.
Wait a minute. He beat him last time. No. Who did he beat? No, he beat Kevin Owens last time. Goldberg for the title. That's good. Build that new talent, WWE, with 52-year-olds. And it's going to be AJ Styles versus Undertaker, by the way.
I've seen some people out there, some of these fans like to be contrarian, and they're like, oh, well, you know, these entitled babies are whining about how, you know, it came off of... Kevin, or not Kevin Owens, they took the title off of Bray Wyatt, and I'm like, I get it, like, you have some fun watching people be disappointed, but what are they doing to the future of the sport?
There is no future
of
this entertainment medium.
What are they doing to the future of this, of this?
There's none.
That you like to watch. They're not building anyone up because you think it's funny for the lulz to see someone like Goldberg come in, shit all over the ring, and get a win. You're not going to have anyone like him to carry wrestling in 20 years. You're not going to have, no, you're just going to keep having Goldberg at fucking 70 wrestling.
Yeah, think about this. Think about what...
You're not building any new stars. You have nothing for the future of your sport.
What
your
legend?
Sports
could
entertainment.
What legend can you bring back at 50 years old of the current crop and pop the crowd? It won't be Roman Reigns, because the one guy they tried to shove down your throat was Roman Reigns, and the fans were not accepting it. He may have ended, three or four straight WrestleManias.
Well, it is going to be Roman Reigns. This is the thing. It's just people aren't going to go for it. But he's
like,
He's the closest to what
Cena.
They have.
Cena's the last guy.
Cena, sure.
Reigns. Edge came back and people went nuts. So it's Edge, but Edge is 47. He's been gone for like 7-8 years. So he can probably wrestle for 3-4 more years. He's in good shape. You know, we're different now with staying in shape and health and fitness versus even 10 years ago. But Edge is there's like three guys you can do it with,
right.
And that's it. The Rock ain't gonna wrestle anymore. Every time The Rock comes back, he gets hurt because he's so massively big. He's too big to wrestle and actually be flexible. I just saw him on, speaking of Fast and Furious, was it Fast 6 was on TV or whatever? His arms are so massive in that movie. I thought it was CG. I was like, Vin Diesel's not a small guy. He dwarfed Vin Diesel in that movie.
Really?
And I was just like, come on, Rock. Come on, baby. What are you doing? At some point, it's got to break down all that muscle on you. At some point. But hey, we love The Rock. We love Dwayne. And now Cena's pushed back too. We're going to have a Fast and Furious movie, if not this one. Rock's not in this next one, with both Cena and The Rock's going to be in the same Fast and Furious movie, I think, for probably number 10. They're supposed to go. I talked to our buddy Andre. He was like, "Oh, 9 and 10 were supposed to be back to back. They were supposed to start filming it, or they were filming it back to back. So 10 was supposed to come out originally, I think, next year, or they were supposed to be like 1 year apart for 9 and 10 on the Fast and Furious.
Mm.
They've been making these stupid movies for 20 years.
Jesus.
It's 20 years. They got like 11 movies almost.
Just
Hobbs and Shaw.
Just touched my nose. All right.
Speaking of that, hopefully get well soon, Idris Elba. Speaking of Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes.
It all comes full circle to there. You want to talk about Lego Mario, Ian?
Hey, this is the last part of the intro.
Maybe it might be separate if we got any legs on this.
Who knows? I don't think we got any legs. but Lego is teamed up with Mario to do the things.
The Mario things.
Do the Mario things. They're putting out sets. They're putting out sets of Legos that are Mario themed, but it's like a combination toy and like almost like board game, it looks like, perhaps. So there's a Mario character that you build, and
do you build them?
Well, it looks like you put the hat on at the least.
I was gonna say, this is a piece of electronic, we don't want kids. You put the hat on, it's a one piece.
Yeah.
It has batteries, it has Bluetooth.
It has batteries, Bluetooth. It's got screens on it. The eyes move, and there's a little screen on the chest. And the mouth. And the mouth, too, I guess.
I like the mouth, too.
That relays information to the people who are playing with it. So basically, you build like little worlds with the Legos. They look like a Lego board game almost when you're done with it.
Sorry, I touched my nose.
There's a flag. There's Goombas. There's
pipes.
There's Koopa shells. There's pipes.
Piranha plants.
And when Mario makes contact with certain key pieces, he'll collect coins on his chest, or it'll show that he gets hurt or something along those lines.
Or a question mark if you don't know where you're going to get.
Right.
He falls into fire, and there's fire, and his eyes go lit up. It's extremely interesting. Oh, the little Koopa kid's in here, too. One of the Koopa kids.
Yeah, it shows Bowser Jr., I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Bowser Jr.?
Yeah. So it looks like a lot
of... Stomp on the shell and it makes sound. There's the timer when you're running out of time.
Yeah.
It changes the music.
So it looks like a lot of fun. It's something that I think is probably very well suited to Mario. The world is colorful. It's, you know, a lot of times it's built up using like basic shapes and things like that. So I think the Lego kits could be a lot of fun for people. I don't know, you know, if the actual game itself that's packed it, that's kind of built in with it is going to be that much fun, but it's neat to see extra little things added where they make sense.
I think we mentioned that the voice of Mario is done by Charles Martinet. Same Mario voice we got in here. Unless they got a guy who sounded just like him, The Mario flag comes up on his chest when you hit the flag. Yeah. So the way I picture this working is that there's going to have, like, you know, like with any Lego set, you have the instructions to build the main thing. Sometimes you have a couple of little offshoot ones. You can do, like, oh, you can do two pieces from the one big one. But this, to me, this could be the first of a series. You know, you come out with this, you can maybe do the Underworld series.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
I totally see this being a thing with expansions.
What if you put together four different sets to make one, you know, world?
Yeah.
That could be cool, right?
It'd be neat.
So I this is great because, to me, this is a way of kids, like, getting into strange level design in a way for a video game, but it's physical.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a combination board game and, like, video game level design. There probably will be a Luigi figure I can picture them doing, or other characters, or doing a Toad figure, or doing a Princess Toadstool, or is it Peach, whatever.
Peach.
It was originally Princess Toadstool. But
no!
But you can see them... You can see them selling just, like, mini sets with just extra figures.
Absolutely.
So this is great because this is almost like the natural progression of like almost like the Amiibo, but this, you actually play it, you know? It's a lot more interactive than the Amiibo. With Amiibo, you just sit down by your game. This is like, well, you can put the...
You can do stuff.
I wonder when this stuff happens, who approached who? Did Lego approach Nintendo saying, hey, we have this awesome idea we want to show you that we can do? Or was Nintendo thinking, oh, we want to do a cool toy? I wonder how these things start up when you see this stuff happen, these collaborations here.
What's interesting to me is that Mario is Lego. However, Pokemon, which I know isn't Nintendo, it's the Pokemon company, but all the Pokemon, like, brick sets are Mega Blocks.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Uh-oh.
It's interesting to see the split there. Like I said, I realize Pokemon isn't, like, all Nintendo, but that's neat to me.
Lego's taken over like 90% of the IPs, because about 10, 12 years ago or less, you still had like Transformers not being Lego and other things, and like DC, and then they got everything.
Sure.
They got everything at some point as a monopoly. The only comparison I had for Nintendo doing this was they had the little Mario Kart sets. Was that Kinex? You remember those? I got one from the swap meet one time. They sold multiple sets. It was either Kinex or... It was Kinex. I was right. Okay. So these are probably from at least 10 years ago. I think these came out. 5-10 years ago. Let's see. You can still buy them on Amazon.
They had them set up at the Strong Museum.
You can still buy them there. New? Some of these? So they still make these currently? They're marketed with the Wii symbol. So then, okay, Mario Kart 8. These aren't that old then. Mario Kart 8 came out like what?
Hot Wheels. That's
6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Too, yeah.
So you could, with the Kinect sets, you can buy the race sets, and then you can buy the individual racers. So it was a good way to do it. But it wasn't, I mean, like, there wasn't electronically interactive, I don't think. It was just setting up the coursing, and you had little traps, I think, and things, and little, you know, you can basically, it was basically like building your own. Remember, you had the Matchbox cars, and
yeah.
It was sort of that sort of deal.
Yeah, well, they make that in for Mario Kart as well.
It's on the Mario Wiki, by the way, so now I can see everything. Oh, my God, they had a lot of sets. They had about 12 different sets. They had Mario versus Goombas. They had Mario and Luigi at the starting line course building set. They had a Yoshi versus Lava Plume set. So I guess you can expand it together. Mario and Donkey Kong beach race building set. So, again, that wasn't as interactive as this. I'm not familiar if the cars were, like, wind up, like, pulling back and they go. I have no idea. About that, but you did snap everything together, and there was connecting rods. Kinex never took off as much as the other things did. Obviously, Lego's sort of the granddaddy of this, but Kinex has been around for still a long time.
Yeah,
right. So, I think it's interesting. Is looking back at the history of Nintendo and licensing when the NES was big. I just think it was funny. There were no toys.
Yeah,
it was just little figurines and little PVC.
I'm surprised that there wasn't more.
It was just little PVC figures, but damned if I knew where they were sold. They're probably at, like, your local, like, paper shop, Hallmark store. They had the little PVC. I have, like, a Link PVC figure.
Right.
But they didn't sell a lot of them. They had the Nintendo trophies, but they weren't technically toys. I guess Nintendo probably thought back then, we want to keep people buying our games.
Video games, yeah.
We don't want kids to buy toys.
We're trying to make video games take off again. We don't want people pivoting to traditional toys.
So we're okay if you buy the, literally they had like the, you know, the wallpaper Nintendo set. We want kids to look at and, you know, have own like an NES folder when they go to school to put their stuff in. But we don't want kids to play with anything besides video games. But nowadays they're pushing the, you know, Mario as Mickey Mouse thing with the theme parks and everything. Now I guess they're more okay with, let's get toys out there. Let's get Lego there because let's make as much money as we can and have it dominate. So it's really only the past 10, 15 years I think this change has happened like this swiftly with them doing this. A lot more plush the past 10 years. A lot more licensed shirts the past 10, 15 years, right? Before that, there weren't, I don't remember many licensed shirts like the late 90s, early 2000s.
No, it's definitely a lot more now.
So blame us, you know, four-year-old virgins, I guess, that, you know, we still want to buy this stuff and buy it for our kids. Well, we can't be virgins if we have kids, I guess. Anyway, but anyway, that's you see my point, though.
Yes.
Right, so, and you didn't think we'd get a full topic out of this. And I rambled enough to make it happen.
We're pulling at straws there.
Would you grasping at straws?
Pulling.
We're pulling at the straws?
We pulled at them.
No, you can't. I want you to pass it.
I already grasped.
Would you buy this, you think? Or buy this for like a niece or nephew?
Yeah, for a niece or nephew, absolutely. Preferably like when I'm home visiting so I can play with them.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
It's adorable here. And it doesn't look too difficult. Like with Lego sets, you always need the instructions.
The itch. There it is.
You probably don't. Now I itch because you itched. You probably don't need the instructions to put together something fun. Just have a little fun time here. So, all right. Moving on here. Ian, speaking of the certain global health crisis going on, so we don't get demonetized.
Certain global health crisis. So GameStop. GameStop has said that they are prepared for the certain global health crisis, but their policies may not be what they say.
May not be up to snuff.
This is from an article by Ian Walker on Kotaku. GameStop's message to consumers was that the company had assembled an internal task force that would implement three key strategies to protect customers' employees. These included providing its 5,700 retail stores with cleaning supplies and hand sanitizer, instructing employees to stay home if they are symptomatic, and encouraging customers to purchase products online rather than at retail locations. However, it seems like that's all hootenanny, horseshit. Bullshit. Baloney.
Horse feathers?
Bolognese. Yes, horse feathers.
Bolognese sauce.
Thus far, I have seen little to no measures taken from corporate, and I certainly haven't seen any supplies to prevent further outbreaks as a GameStop supervisor who wished to remain anonymous. That seems to be the takeaway from here, is that GameStop has announced that they are going to be doing things, but basically...
But haven't.
And they have basically put the responsibility on obtaining these supplies... to the local managers the local store managers and the employees who are working there. My guess is that they are providing them funds to go get the stuff, but they're not actually providing it, which is something that GameStop should be doing as a chain with an internal distribution network, should be handling that. I mean, people are panic buying all this stuff. There's, you know, many of these GameStop locations, people go to get the, the sanitizing wipes or the hand sanitizer, and they're finding it's all sold out. They want you to think that they've got a handle on it, but it doesn't sound like they really do.
This quote is great. We're unable to go out and purchase these items ourselves and have them expensed. That's at least positive,
right?
But like you, to
that
your
doesn't
point,
provide it.
To your point, though, if you have a concerted effort to do it, maybe all the stores get their supplies at the same time about, so you don't have to worry about it. Versus worrying about, well, maybe this store doesn't think it's a big deal. Maybe this manager doesn't follow science and thinks, oh, we don't need to do anything or have cleaning supplies or have sanitation for our employees or wipes or yeah. And plus, like to your point, like, well, we'll get into the scumbags over the week. Local stores may not have anything versus sourcing it from a wholesaler and then distributing it yourself. It's just a cleaner, easier way of doing it.
Right.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah. But, I mean, what they want to do is what we're doing. I mean, we're open. It sucks that we're open, but we need to work and make money while we can. You know, wiping down counters after every customer comes in, hand sanitizer on all the counters, you know, that sort of thing. Constantly cleaning, and making sure that things are as sanitary as possible.
Two good quotes here. At least in my store's regard, it's virtually impossible to find the items we need to adequately clean and sanitize the stores and keep ourselves as safe as we can. One store is completely out of toilet paper. Stop panic buying toilet paper. And had to close their restroom because supplies responded to their emails saying they were not shipping to stores. I guess their supply manager.
Yeah.
Okay. GameStop has yet to respond to a request for comment. So, I mean, you're not shocked. Obviously, some corporations and some governments have been slow to act when it comes to this. But you have to know what's happening. You have to keep abreast of things, especially if you want to keep people wanting to come to your retail shop. I know things might close down automatically, but at least before that happens, keep things as sanitized as possible. I mean...
Yeah.
You could do all the Reggie on your board PR stuff as much as you want, but if you're not doing common sense things, it's going to hurt you. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just bad PR because we're talking about it. We shouldn't be talking about this. You know, we shouldn't have to worry about this. But if they're concerned, they don't have toilet paper, they don't have hand sanitizer, and a place where you're touching games and taking things to people and paying, you know, it's yeah. Many associates are fearing losing their jobs because store leaders or district leaders are telling us internally that if we stay home and do not supply a doctor's note verifying we are being doctor ordered not to work, it will be an unexcused absence.
America!
Well, that's GameStop corporate. Not know what's going on. I'm trying to squeeze every last drop of GameStop blood out of the stone of their corporate vision at this point here too. The GameStop Performance Center
and esports. I didn't know about this either, but I was going to say, just so everyone knows, if you were planning on going to the GameStop Performance Center
in Frisco, Texas,
an esports focused gaming lounge located in Frisco, Texas, it will be closed until March 23rd.
So is the National Video Game Museum in Frisco as well. By the way, I'd rather you go there once it opens versus this. It's in the Star in Frisco. I guess it's like an outside, like, mall-looking thing is where it is there.
This is something that I wanted to bring up, this whole closed until March 23rd thing. Lots of places are like, oh, we're closed for 2 weeks. Baseball was like, oh, we're just pushing back opening day by 2 weeks.
No.
No, you're not.
No, I mean, they came out and said that they don't recommend groups of more than 50 people. And that's everything at that point. For 8 weeks, they announced that a few days ago. So... that means the earliest things are going to probably come back will be, you want to say even early March? Excuse me, early May would probably be the earliest. Well, like 6 weeks, probably. We're going to probably reassess like every 2 weeks. That's the way I look at this. They're going to reassess, okay, we got to clamp on this. That's how this is going to work. It's not going to be like a set date. Okay, ready, set, go. They're going to reassess this every probably couple of weeks to see, like an injury. We're going to see how bad it is before you can slowly start to reincorporate things. And then still see where things are at while things get reincorporated. This isn't like, all right, the faucet's now totally... No, this is going to be very slow. Things are going to come back, I think.
Yeah.
Someone told me it was the last NBA game that when they canceled everything when Rudy Gobert was tested positive. It was the last, I think it was a Dallas game. They said, this is the best season for the Warriors to tank because there may not be a winner this year.
Yeah, right.
That's how weirdly it worked out like that. The season may not end for the NBA and NHL. We'll see. I got a feeling they'll work something out. Even if it's like a month of playoffs, they'll do something. They'll just end the season early. But I just thought it was kind of, huh, you're right. The Warriors don't miss the playoffs this year. Interesting. They'll be back next year. So, anything else to add here?
Nah.
Are we good on this?
We're good.
I'm going to scratch my nose with my sleeve there. I didn't touch anything. Hey, Ian, have you looked into your wireless bill lately? You're probably paying too much for phone service. It's 2020. Network coverage is better than ever, no matter your wireless provider. So why pay more for the same service? That's where Mint Mobile comes in. They can cut your bill down to $15 a month for the same premium coverage.
$15?
I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, Ian. I know. This is too good to be true. But these guys know what they're doing. I use Mint Mobile, Ian. And the service is good. It's good. They use T-Mobile infrastructure.
It's a
nationwide network you can trust there. Your old wireless bill pays for expensive retail stores and overhead. That's why Mint Mobile reimagined how you buy wireless and made it all online. They're cutting off the middleman. They're passing the savings directly to you. Mint Mobile makes it easier to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus crazy fast 4G LTE. Use your own phone as long as you own it, and it's unlocked with any Mint Mobile plan, and you keep your same phone with your existing contacts. In the mail, I got when I signed up, they send it in the mail to you. They give you a little SIM card. They give you the instructions. You download the app on your phone. I think I was set up in like 10 to 15 minutes. You're ready to go. And there's 100% satisfaction guarantee on this. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. All right, to get your new wireless bill for just $15 a month, and get your new plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/CU podcast. That's mintmobile.com/CU podcast. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/CU podcast. Okay, Ian.
Pat.
God, do I really have to do this? There is an Amico gameplay, new gameplay trailer just came out this morning, right at the same time as the Nintendo India Direct, which was interesting. Nintendo Indie Direct.
Yes.
We watched that before the podcast. Like, oh, there's some nice games coming out. There's a game where you can, it's an adventure game where you can turn into a cat and a dog and explore the town.
The Good Life.
That looked really good.
By Swery 65. Yeah, that'll be good. That shooter, B-Arc with the...
There's an animal shooter up to four-player.
Three-player scrolling shooter.
And it's local co-op. I didn't know those games existed on the Switch.
Well, that was something that was interesting about this Indie Direct as we get into this Amico trailer that we're going to watch. There was a few games that really
specifically said
local co-op
multiplayer.
But it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. We're out of
need it. A new system. We need to buy something new to take care of this.
Don't yell at me.
We can't do it with what we have. We can't get together and have fun with friends and family unless we buy an Amico.
Board games don't exist anymore.
Nothing exists. The Amico will save us all.
All right, we're going to watch this on the obscenely expensive CU Podcastron 3000.
Yes, we're going to watch it on the Podcastron.
The Podcastron. Neither of us have watched it, so I'm gonna go into this open-minded, and I say that with all honesty, and Pat's almost always honest when it comes to these things. And we'll discuss what we see afterwards. We'll slow it down afterwards.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, let's see. Oh, let's put out the audio here. We'll put the... Okay, we got the audio up. Okay, we got the logo here. Here we go, Ian. We ready here?
Yeah, let's do this shit.
I won't pause it the first time through here.
All right.
That's really loud. Sorry about that. That's really loud. Let me lower that. There. I don't need too much Amico right there. Okay. Incomplete. Okay, I will pause it. Incomplete early work in progress gameplay demos. Okay. A little echo looking action there. Is that a killer whale or a dolphin? Safe cracker game. Okay, we got pool. That was in the original trailer, I believe, of the Gamescom trailer, a little racing game. Shark!
There's the shark.
I actually like how the shark looks. He looks kind of happy. Cornhole. With unlockable levels. There's your breakout. Astro Smash. This is loud. I gotta turn this music off. I thought there'd be gameplay, actual gameplay music. Plus, I don't want to get demonetized for that. All right, it's a tank game there. Was that like a Bomberman type of game?
Looks almost like it might have been.
That's just, that's Pong with a minigun. Well, Pong / breakout sort of game. That's literally Pong.
Jesus, that looks bad.
That's literally Pong. Okay. That's my Coleco Telstar. That's what it is. Yeah. Missile Command. Evil Knievel. We got Evil back. All right. We're going for the 40. We really are going 40 years old for Evel Knievel. That one does not look that good. Okay, there's a dice game. There's skiing. I guess that's your Intellivision skiing sort of counterpart there. God, this is fucking awful, this music.
Yeah, it's
fucking bad.
It's very bad.
Oh, we're still skiing, sorry.
Yep.
All right.
This is the killer app.
Well, there's a lot of skiing being shown, more than anything else. I thought that was interesting. What was that? Like, that was a quick little promo shot of... That was like literally a half second of like three kids and a guy. There's the Intellivision man running around with a bow and arrow.
It's Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, those Dungeons and Dragons. Here's our Moon Patrol. We got our early access. Look at this on the Amico app. Okay, I do like the fact that you're... Okay, that it's scrolling. It's, you know, up and down a little bit.
Do you like the fact that it's doing basic Moon Patrol things?
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Okay, we'll talk about... Oh, I did hear there's pre-orders coming. They're doing more pre-orders there. So, okay. Do you want to go through it, see what we got in here? Just real quick. What's your first general impression here of what you're seeing here, Ian? Is there any killer app here that's going to sell this? We know at this point that the Amico is going to be between $200 and $300. So, Pat, right, it's going to be at the very least $229.
I don't want anyone trying to say, because I saw it on a message board, that a certain health crisis is the reason for this increase in price.
No, it's not.
This price started slipping up way before that even happened.
Yes, and then the Founders Edition was way more than $200.
So. My take on this, honestly, and trying to be as nice as possible, is this looks like a collection of games that you would buy on a fucking CD in the checkout aisle at Computer City for $10, and you would play three of them.
In like 1999?
Yes.
2000? So that's almost like, it's not Echo the Dolphin, because it's a killer whale, but it could be Mate's Echo there. Okay, so that's not a killer app to me. It's interesting.
This looks miserable.
Safecracker looks like a game where I'm guessing you're going to use your controller to try to do combinations and run things, like a mini adventure, one game. That's an app game. That's an app game.
Yes.
Right there. That's how we should look at these games. Are these games that you should only exist on the Amico, or would need the Amico in order to power these by themselves? What game was this? Oh, that was Safecracker.
Part of Safecracker. I mean, some of the stuff like this looks
the
like...
The pool game looks...
If you've ever had, like a simple, like, game development, like, interface, if you ever use anything like Click and Play or Game Maker or, you know, that sort of thing. This looks like the sort of demo stuff you see in there, like
generic
how to make a game.
Basic games. Well, a pool game's basic as you can get. I mean, I wouldn't have shown that. That should not be a game you would actually buy.
No, sometimes less is not, sometimes more is not more.
No.
You don't need to show the pool game. It's bad looking.
That's the first one I'm going to say. That's, to me, an absolute joke. To show a pool game. That's a joke. This is actually the highlight to me. Maybe I'm being generous. This could be a fun little racing game like Super Sprint.
I like games like this, but there is no reason that you would need to buy a system to play a game like this.
Well, no. And I can't picture that disc being that fun to play this with versus just an analog.
And you're not wrong, because this is the one where I was like, I would play it because I play lots of games but Super Sprint exists. I mean, all of the, like, Micro Machines exist.
I like
RC Pro-Am exists.
This kind of looks single screen-esque. I like overhead racing games, like Super Off-Road.
Right.
So this one actually is interesting to me. I'm not sure how this is going to work with multiplayer, though. If the screen is moving, you can't have it like that then. Does that make sense? Because
maybe they look at the controller screen.
That's going to be miserable to play it on that, though.
I'm not saying it's going to be better. I'm just saying.
Because that screen is not as big as my iPhone 7 screen, probably, there. So they show some courses. Again, it looks okay, but again, I can probably download like five games on the App Store. It's like that. I was going to say, there's some of these games I'm going to look up on the App Store to see how many equivalents there are if you want to look up a racing game like that. Shark. This Shark, as you know,
looks
traditionally
bad.
is a single screen game, right? And you're eating fish. That, unless you're an Intellivision fan, That's an absolute joke to see advertised.
That looks ridiculous.
Again, unless you're a Shark Truck fan, that's not moving the needle at all there. All right, this to me is actually the most interesting one. I'm going to give him credit for this because cornhole is actually getting more and more popular.
It is.
Nowadays. And motion controls to throw with the controller make sense for cornhole.
Sure.
The issue is that you could do a cornhole game on the Switch with the same accelerometer and gyroscope stuff and do that. I actually looked it up. There is not a standalone Switch cornhole game. There's a cornhole game on the Switch as part of a party pack of games that sells for like $20.
Sure.
So not independent. I'm actually surprised, though, Ian, there's not a cornhole game on the Switch because I think it would actually sell. The only thing I would say, though, about motion control with a cornhole game is that when you play cornhole, the cornhole's like a pound. You have to let go release point. I'm not sure that's going to work on a motion controller unless there's a button you release to do it.
Well, it's just like Wii Bowling. You let go of the button.
Okay. So you hold the trigger on it?
Yeah, you hold the trigger and you let go at the throw point.
Okay. I hope there's a strap on there. But the other was it the other Wii ones, boxing you hold it, batting you hold it. So to me, this is interesting. To me, this is just the concept of it. If it's responsive on the throw.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most interesting game on there that we've seen.
How much does a cornhole set cost? I actually want to get a cornhole. Cornhole's fun.
They're not too much.
What's a basic one cost? $84.
Yeah, I was going to say probably about 100.
You can get a cheap PVC one for $30, $40. Obviously, they go up, $100 for a decent one. It looks like a Dick's Sporting Goods. So we'll just say for a decent one, probably like $100 for a decent one. There now, I'll say this though: if you're big into cornhole to begin with, you probably have a cornhole set. So this won't. This is a weird thing where, like, if you like cornhole like me, maybe you would try this. But if I have a cornhole set, I would not play this instead of playing cornhole. That's you know what I mean? Because you can experience the full sport for $100. You can't experience ice hockey or boxing that easily compared to that. That's the one thing I'm going to say. I'm not putting this down. I think this is a good idea to do this.
No, but even compared to bowling, this is far more easier to experience in your backyard. Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say, though. Is this worth me spending $250 to play this alone? Probably not when I can play cornhole for $100 and get the full experience and go outside with my kids. But to me, this is a cool experience. And I did look it up on the App Store because I thought this looked very similar to something I looked up on my phone. There is one on the App Store. Again, you're playing on your phone that has like 30 different events like this. Right. It has like a beach. It has everything. So to me, this is the highlight so far. Kudos for the cornhole, especially since it's more popular year after year here. And then board selection. Okay, this is the breakout game we saw before. I think it looks cool. Is it a system seller, though?
No, but it looks fun.
It should be packed. This should be a packing game, though, to me.
Yeah.
If I can do market research for Intellivision, this, to me, should be a packing game because it's flashy.
It's flashy. It's simple. It's easy to pick up and play. It looks fun.
You can't put pool on the system and say, hey, we're going to sell a $250 console, $229 plus tax. It's going to be $250.
But yeah, put the breakout on there. I think the breakout and the cornhole look decent.
I think cornhole has to be a packing game. Has to be. Astro Smash. I'm not a big Astro Smash guy. You are. You can tell me if you
like the original Astro Smash. I think this looks cheesy.
Is it a system seller to play something like this nowadays? It's a mobile game.
It looks cheap. It looks cheaply done. And the other thing, it looks cheaper than a mobile game. And like you can even see like when it's firing off the lasers in certain shots, you can see like the laser being created behind like the ship in like the rocket or whatever it is. It doesn't look, it looks shitty.
It just doesn't look polished.
Right. Too. It doesn't look polished at all.
Okay. Fight in front of the pyramids there. Okay. Okay, this is another racing game that looks like it's like a racing set, like a matchbox on the ground, and they smash into each other. That looks to me embarrassing to put on this.
Yeah,
that is like with a pool. Like you do not put this on here.
No, and I'm gonna go ahead and say with the next game that comes up, an overhead brown colored tank game is about as basic as it gets, and it's been done to death.
I'm sure there's probably 10 on the App Store I can buy right now. There was about 6 cornhole games I can get on the App Store, but okay.
Again, it looks cheap.
This is like a Bomberman looking game. It looks like Bomberman. I didn't check to see if they got the license. Do you think they got the license of Bomberman?
No, it doesn't look anything like Bomberman. I mean, it looks like a Bomberman game, but it doesn't look like Bomberman.
It's a Bomberman clone.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got the rights to it. I'm not going to check.
They don't look anything like
this characters. Is, to me, the other weird choice to advertise. This is literally, this is a souped-up Pong game.
So I've played some fun Pong games like this that do some
minigun,
like
you get
this.
Lasers.
But, yeah, it's...
It's Breakout/Pong. There's probably 50 of these on the App Store if I look. There's probably a lot of things like this. It looks interesting, but again, is this going to be a system seller? That's the thing. It's like, are you willing to pay $229 plus tax and potentially shipping to get this? That's the thing.
Right.
Would this be a pack-in set, you think? If this is a suite of games, I would say this could be a pack-in.
Sure.
This, Cornhole, Breakout. Then again, the Breakout's a... Similar. Can't have two Breakout games? I don't know. Okay.
That just looks bad. That just looks like
wait,
real
is this,
bad.
Is this not the same game? Is that a
it
different
is.
Game?
It's the same game.
Why would you show two Pong clones on top of each other?
It's the same game.
It's the same game.
It's the same game. And it looks awful.
Yeah, this looks bad. This looked good. This digitized one looks somewhat decent. This looks like, to your point, this is like a PC game from like the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, it does. That looks like stock art.
That looks terrible. With the soccer field, basketball court, and then you have the football field there. That looks bad. I'm not going to... This was a little recording game that it's hard to tell what this is. There's a little ice cream cone,
some
little
sort
thing.
Of party game of some sort.
That goes by within... Listen closely, and it's gone. I guess if it's recording, you can't really advertise it.
Right.
The trailer music was awful, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, it was. It was miserable.
Okay, here's a... This is a missile command, updated missile command, that... It's hard to tell because it's literally a second.
That doesn't look like Missile Command to me so much as it does multiplayer sabotage or whatever the fuck the game was called, Saboteur.
Well, there are missiles coming down. They're shooting.
Yeah, true.
I think it's Missile Command. You know, let's. So this is
they got Atari.
There's a list somewhere I can look up. I'll look up on the Wikipedia right now, or if you want to look it up as I go through. Yeah, pull up the wiki. For what games they have. There's like 22 games, I think, that they have announced. Okay, this is another embarrassing one to me for a couple of reasons. This is like one of those real physics types of games that, you know, like that there's a billion of these on your
there's
iPhone.
So many of these on your iPhone. This is Trials HD is the long-running one on console that has like four entries. And they're fun. But
this is a mistake.
Yes.
And then you're partnering with an Evel Knievel license when you really want to show the age of your prospective audience.
Yeah.
There is, I would say, almost no one under... Well there's no one under 40 that was alive to see Evel Knievel, I think, perform because he was done. But he's a huge guy from the early to mid-70s. That's when his zenith was. So we're talking 45 years ago for Evel Knievel. So, okay... What's next we got here? Sharks in Chicago. Okay, that's cool. There's different sort of stunts you can do.
There's different levels.
But it's still a physics game, a simple physics game. Where, he's wacky. You're hitting down the blocks. Yeah, I personally don't like games like this. Next we have showing the phone, which is funny because that's a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Not the controller. And you're dumping it. To show that it's your controller, your cell phone can do that. You're virtually throwing the dice for this game. Like it looks like Yahtzee, but there's a lot of dice. Looks like more like a tech demo to me. Okay, this is the one that goes on forever.
They hung on that for a while.
The skiing one is interesting. It's again, we're talking like I'm gonna look up skiing games while you look at that. Did you find the list yet?
Yeah, it's Night Stalker, I believe. Not Night Stalker. Missile Command. Yeah, there it is.
Missile Command's on the list. That's an official Missile Command there. Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay, so what do you think about this skiing game, Ian, when you see this? What do you think when you see this?
I think Ski Free on Windows.
Ski Free? That was a game on Windows?
You never played the skiing game on Windows.
No.
Where the abominable snowman chases you at the end.
It's built into Windows?
It was like everyone had it at one point in time. I think it's a weird game to focus on.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to see. There's a snowboarding game that actually looks a lot more advanced than that on here. I'm trying to find a skiing game that's overhead. Oh, I found one. Skiing Yeti Mountain. But it's like 8-bit pixel. Looks fun. There's freestyle skiing. I'm trying to find one that's kind of overhead like that. Oh, found one. Ski Legends. I found Ski Legends there. and these are mostly free with in-app purchases. There's a lot of skiing. Wow, skiing games are popular. I always forget how other countries, like in Europe, skiing is a lot more popular than here.
Yeah. So,
there's easily 25 to 30 skiing games. About 25 games here. Arctic Smash looks pretty good. Oh, it's an Endless Runner skiing game. That's an interesting concept, to have an Endless Runner. I guess it makes itself. Okay, so there's a lot of skiing games. This looks like an app game to me.
Yes,
it could be fun. It looks like an app game. Okay. And again, do you need a special controller to play something like this? There'd be no reason to use a special controller for something like this.
Yeah, I'm still trying. Yeah, none of these games have...
Maybe the Safecracker game?
Yeah, Safecracker, probably.
And the Cornhole.
Yes.
But again, it's all motion controls. There's other systems you can do that. But okay, this one went on for like 30 seconds when we were watching it. It went on for a while. Maybe this is one they're mostly in-depth with in terms of completing it?
I guess.
Okay, what we got next here? God, this goes on forever. We get it. It's skiing. Avalanche. Okay. I'm talking 1 second shot of the biplane game where you're shooting and then you hit a little balloon. It's literally like a second. Quick shot to, oh, they're not children, they're adults. We have four adults. This is a mock-up shot, advertising shot, or maybe it's, I don't know.
Of another party game.
Another party game. Maybe it's one that's supposed to be a party game and it comes with the system. Your friends can guess. It says, so your friends can guess. Those are literally like emoji.
Yeah,
art.
It looks like the answer is Ratatouille. So they're trying to play charades with emojis.
Oh, it's classic concentration.
Well, okay. Sort of.
Sure. Ratatouille. Okay, we have what space shooter game is this?
I don't know.
Oh, it's supposed to be an Asteroids game because it then goes into Asteroids real quick. An updated Asteroids game. Okay. The next is the D&D game.
Yeah, although it's not listed on here as Dungeons & Dragons, I'm not
sure. They probably got to get the license to it?
They probably didn't get that license.
So this looks like, if you want to say good, like mid-90s DOS game? Or mid-90s like CD-ROM game that you get? This looks like that. And then you're the little television running man. You're shooting the bow and arrow.
That's what the guy looked like in the original game.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yes.
I just was saying television man because that look right there, that's like the exact like look and run.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, okay. Our good old Moon Patrol.
Moon Patrol,
you are not a fan
like trash.
Of. You're not a fan of Moon Patrol.
I love the game. That's why I'm like extra down on this version.
The original Moon Patrol have hills like this?
Dude, whatever.
Okay.
No, I don't think it had hills.
Am I trying to pump it up too much?
I'm not gonna. Yes, you are. I'm not gonna get excited about it.
Night Stalker to me looks like a mess in terms of what things are going on the screen. To me,
yeah. Like I look at it, and initially the video game brain part of my brain goes, ooh, game.
Shiny colors.
And then I look at it and I go, what the fuck is going on here?
You have walls moving. You have lots of different explosions, different colors. You have the giant tarantula-looking guy in the middle there. So, and you have, looks like, four players at once. You have the purple, you have the teal, you have the yellow. Three or four players on the screen there. So, okay, there's your local. And then you have...
I mean, I'm interested. I just...
It's a little too busy. It probably would be fun, but I think it's a little too busy for me. You know what the problem is with me is this? When you see the bats, they blend into the walls.
Yeah.
When they're close, because they're both black and gray.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have the bats, I think, be a brighter color, at least to me, to stand out there. And then you have VIP pre-orders coming March 31st. This was tacked on the end because this is literally done like in a titler in a video editing program in like 3 seconds. This and that's it, Ian. So okay. So, all right, there's about two or three, I'd say, games on here that could be, did help to be packed in. Cornhole, to me, is probably the highlight of this, and probably the racing game. And then half of these are embarrassing or shouldn't even be shown, I would think, at this point in time. I mean, I'm trying to be nice, but...
Yeah, no.
Evil Knievel is embarrassing. This Pong game is an embarrassment to show this.
This was supposed to come out yesterday, and I have a feeling it was delayed 24 hours to shine shit as best as possible.
You think so?
Yes.
That one-screen racing game is an embarrassment to show this, as you think that the family is going to be playing this game.
Right.
At all. Astro Smash, I'm not an Astro Smash fan. I'll trust you saying it doesn't look that good. Shark, that... Come on, man. That's a mobile game. I mean, come on. The racing game could be interesting.
Every single one of these is a mobile game.
Well, shit. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm trying to say, like, when I think of mobile game in terms of aesthetics as well as gameplay,
sure.
That's what I mean. Like the racing game, maybe they figure out a way to make the racing game fun with the controller. Maybe you twist your, but again, you can do that with the phone. There's nothing different about the phone versus that. So, okay, I think there's three games interesting out of these. Safecracker, you think it looks like dog shit? I don't know. I got to see more of Safecracker.
It could be an interesting game, but I'm just saying, like, graphically, like, how they put it together looks.
You don't like the aesthetic, the cartoony look, simple line drawing there?
I'd have to see more of it, I guess.
Okay.
All right, well.
You want to talk about what the current pre-order plan is real quick?
What is the current pre-order plan?
So, it was revealed on Atari Age, I believe, here. Where is the link here? So, they're doing more pre-orders. And they were planning this even before the health crisis was happening. There was plans. Tommy Tallarico, the president of Intellivision at this point, was saying that we are going to do more pre-orders. And now I think I saw a tweet saying we're going to do this to make sure we get it in your hands. So they're not going to be able to produce as many consoles as they originally wanted. So they're afraid that there wouldn't be any in stores that they would, I guess, run out. So people that really want it right away couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So that's why they're doing more pre-orders. So, okay, so now it's going to be with, this is what Tommy was saying on Atari Age in terms of why the price has jumped up 50% in the past 6 to 7 months when it comes to this. So it said 150 was before engineering started and before we spoke to retailers. I'm not sure how you can price something before you do engineering on something, by the way. So the price range was 150 to 180. I always said it's going to be higher than lower. They said then they picked the chip and went to $200. Then they said they spoke to retailers who said it would seem too cheap at only $200. It would be just a retro or a flashback when they spoke to retailers, which to me would be strange because there's no flashbacks that have ever existed in my head that were even close to $200.
Or
standalones were usually between $50 and $100 historically, weren't they? Even the old Atari ones.
Yes.
So that to me is a strange thing. Why would a retailer think that? Anyway, because there's a lot of game consoles have come out or eventually went down to $200, especially handhelds. The 3DSs, you know, and DSs were $200. So why would you? Those aren't flashbacks. I'm not saying he wasn't telling the truth. I just think that's really strange advice to give someone on pricing something.
Yeah,
go over $200 because the Switch Lite's $200. People are buying because it's quality. It doesn't look cheap to them. Anyway, and like I said, look at the history of handheld consoles. Anyway, so at that point, let's say they try to do more responsive, capacitive touchscreens. That point is going to be $229 to $239. But now with the scarcity of parts, it could get to $249 for the initial launch. And until the manufacturing supply chain stuff goes away, estimating Q2 of 2021. Meaning base units would sell for $249 for the first 6 months or so, then come down by the spring of 2021 if everything stays on track. If you think about it, very typical for any video game system. Year one, it comes out at the biggest price. Then by Christmas of the following year, the first sales or bundles start to happen. Okay. Then he associates it with the Wii being $249 when it launched. Okay. Comparing it to Nintendo's console. Then you go down the line there. The links there, if you want to take a look there on Atari Age there. So this is going to be a $250 console before it gets shipped out to you or sales tax. If you're buying, most states have sales tax here. We're creeping up to $275, $280, $290, all things considered, you have to spend here. So now it's no longer a value system at this point.
No.
Now it's no longer, this is something I can pick up. It's not an impulse buy for sure. It's not something that, you know, someone who has no idea what this is about is going to see this and say, oh, it's only $250. I'm going to grab it. We're totally out of that range. At $150, $160, you can maybe reach and make the argument under $200, not at $250.
At $250, you are directly competing with Nintendo.
Yes.
The only people who you cannot make an argument that if you're looking at an Amico and you're looking at a Switch.
Sure.
That one is...
Well, Switch Lite's $50 less at $199.
Right. Well, the Switch Lite won't bring you and your family, living room, family, together, family,
sure.
Games, family.
But the regular Switch could.
Family. but the regular Switch will at $50 more. You look at that game launch lineup trailer, and then you show people what you can play couch co-op with family right now. Family, living room, Switch. Family.
So you mean, Ian, I can't play a hard-looking Pong clone on a basketball court for $250, but I can play Super Mario Odyssey for $300? Mario Kart for $300?
And you can do that with two players right out of the box. You can't even make the argument that you need extra controllers.
Sure.
Same amount of, yeah, I mean, so then we're back at, okay, so it's 250. The known company that has a library of games out for it has a system at 300.
Which by probably a year from now, or 2 years at least, will be
that you can
lower.
Hook up to a TV and play, sure, with family, friends in a living room. Or you can get the $200... The $200 Switch Lite, which you could still use to link up with people.
Sure.
Or you get this. So what are you back to this selling? You have Tommy fanboys who want it because Tommy says it's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
Or you have people who are attached to the...
The Intellivision name.
The Intellivision name, the old Dungeons & Dragons game. Looking at the list, there was like a Lock and Chase game. Hey, I like Lock and Chase. R-Type, there's going to be a version of R-Type.
Frogbog.
There's going to be a Tron Deadly Discs. But you're going to have people who are really, really attached to the name that some of these mobile quality games are going to be carrying to get them to fork out $250 when you have clear alternatives.
Yes.
And if graphics and things like that aren't supposed to matter, once again, sorry, Tommy's always saying things like, oh, well, the graphics don't matter, it's about getting people together with friends and family. Well, then you can buy a fucking PlayStation 4 for $200.
You can.
You can have fun with friends and family in a living room with other game systems that aren't going to be as expensive as this is going to be when it comes out. If you're not that concerned about having the latest and greatest, which was supposed to be a focal point of this anyways, was that you don't need the highest end graphics. You don't need all this fancy stuff.
Apparently not.
Yes.
I mean,
the more the price goes up, the harder it is to even look at this with any
seriousness.
Yes. With anything more than like a, gee, shit.
And
chuckle.
And out there, if you think we're being haters, what do you think the mainstream game journals would think that if they went, E3's canceled, if they brought this to E3 and showed this off to someone from like GameSpot or IGN, what the hell do you think they would say or write about when they see this? You honestly think it would be positive? Say, hey, listen, this is going to be exciting. We got a $250 console coming out, so you can play a game that's free right now and probably looks better, the free version, than this garbage right here.
Without calling us haters, explain to us why anyone should be excited about a $250 console that plays, frankly, embarrassing bullshit.
That Evel Knievel game looks, I mean, that's an embarrassment to me. That's a mobile game that should be free. And there are ones like that that are out there.
And as we've said, there's games in this trailer that look like they could be fun.
Yes.
But you're not... I don't want it to sound like we're hating entirely on developers here, but you don't need a standalone console to play these. And the more and more game shit that gets released, the more it becomes obvious to me that anything that those controllers are going to do special, that's going to make them unique, is going to be gimmicky garbage.
How the hell are you going to make me think that you need the special controller to play fucking Astro Smash, which is left, right, and shoot?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let's be real here. Let's just be real when we're talking about this stuff here. You're going to have to force things in the game to use the controller to justify it.
They could come out tomorrow and tell me that any game could be loaded onto the controller and the controller could be taken with you as a portable. That's what our phone is for.
I was going to say that.
Like, I'm trying to think of like the craziest thing that could be told to me.
Yeah, because we don't know that it's portable. We don't think this isn't a portable system.
No, but I'm just saying. That's why I'm trying to think of like the craziest thing that they might consider an ace in a hole. Well, it's a portable game system too.
Or load the game onto the app to take your phone with you. Maybe
we're still playing
because a cell phone can power any of this stuff.
So then we're playing mobile games on our phone, which we already have, and we don't need a console for it.
Not just that. Half of these games we see, or I would say almost all of these, there's equivalents of all these games that exist in other places for forever. There's been games like Armor Battle, the tank game, that are available. Like, there's nothing original when you look at this.
No, nothing that was shown there was...
I'd say just Cornhole, just for the fact that it's motion-controlled, and I couldn't find a standalone Switch game that was Cornhole. Was there one on the Wii? I'll look while you talk.
I don't know, but I mean, honestly, it's a motion-controlled sports game, and hopefully it plays really well, because all those games were sold in bundles and packs.
There was Target Toss Pro bags for the Wii. There was one. Okay. Target.
But I mean, that's something else I would say too. A lot of those games, like Frisbee games on the Wii and stuff like that, they were bundled into like packages of 25 games at once.
Or yeah, Wii Play had 10 games.
Wii Play had 10.
Just about
Wii
right?
Sports had 5. I don't know what Wii Sports Resort had. And then all the knockoff ones loaded like 25 to 50 games in there. Now, obviously, most of those sucked. And you only need one game. Like, so hopefully the Cornhole game will just be good as Cornhole. But, yeah, anyways, I'm done. I'm angry.
You're angrier than I am.
Well, I mean, seriously, like...
I think there's like three or four interesting games in there.
Which is what I said. I'm just... Yeah. It's after all the talk, this is really what you're coming at.
But
us
what
with?
Did we expect? To be honest, what did we expect?
Not much. But I did want to watch that and have something surprise me so I could be like, oh, see, I'm not a hater. I just. This could be cool.
I was okay until I saw the Pong game. And then I saw that Evel Knievel game is pissing me off more than you possibly know. Because when I go over and with any young kid has a game on their phone like that, where it's like, oh, skateboard and move your phone to see if you can stay balanced. That's the most generic game.
I love games like that, but that's the thing. I've played 800 of them.
You can't bank on someone spending $250 to play that. You just can't. I'm sorry.
Here's what you can do when you offer like simple experiences like that. When you offer simple experiences like that, what's one way to get people to notice them and take like and play
look
them in a modern era? It's to add flash and pizzazz to it.
Look at this. $250 to play this. Look at that.
I know. So they're not even doing that. It doesn't look particularly good. They're not even giving it like a coat of paint. Which is something I can say about the Breakout game, which as simple as it looks like fun.
They got to pack in... I'm not saying this is going to be a success, but I mean, to give it a better shot... You got to pack in the nice Breakout game. You got to do Cornhole. Cornhole has to be a packing game. You got to do this Breakout and the Cornhole up front. Shark will probably be... they'll probably do like an action game. They'll probably have an educational game in there. The racing game probably has to be a packing game. You got to put all your killer in as the packing games here. That's the problem. And it can't just be five games. I think you got to do probably 10. You got to do as many as you can for something like this.
Yeah.
You got to... Maybe the end game is just packing like I said, I'm going back to my original thought. You pack in as many as you can, and you count on no one buying a game after that point.
So you make a collection of games that you need to buy a system for that no one's going to support after they buy it, instead of just making the collection of games that maybe we'd all be fucking playing and streaming when it came out.
I'm trying to think of the way out. I mean, like I said to Tommy on Twitter, I said, why don't you put these games out on the Switch? And he called me an idiot, basically, for saying that.
Well, because clearly, nothing that we've seen in this trailer can be done on any system other than the Amiga. You'd need to have that controller.
I don't know. I know it's hard to get lost in the shuffle. I'm just trying to even think about profit and loss when you're not going to be making a huge amount on these consoles, probably. Or maybe you will. I don't know. I guess when you raise it to $250, you're probably going to put in more value. You're going to make more money. But do some collections of games. Put the Cornhole game on the Switch and get the license advertised. Maybe you sell like 10, 20, 30,000 on the Switch alone for that game. You know what I mean? Of the Cornhole. And then you start building that up. I understand you want to come out with the console and have the dream of doing this competitor.
Oh, but then Tommy wouldn't have his Ego project.
The whole Intellivision thing still doesn't make any sense. The range of people, when you look at the people talking about this on YouTube, there's like no one in their 20s, obviously, or 30s is going to have fond memories of the Intellivision because they don't exist. Yes, save for the one-off. Not everyone, Pat. Yes, there's the one kid that got stuck with an Intellivision in 1991 for some reason. Yes, I know there's a few out there. I'm talking about the general population. We're too young for the Intellivision, you know. And the more people get aged out, would this have had a chance 10, 15 years ago if it came out against the Wii? Maybe. Would it have had a chance? Because the Intellivision nostalgia sort of was probably started dying out like 10, 15 years ago. Probably 15, 20 years ago. Would it have a chance then? Maybe. Or better chance? Probably. Because there were mothers 15, 20 years ago that grew up with the Intellivision.
I don't know and I don't care. Because it's not the past, it's now. And this looks like dog shit.
Okay. I'm trying to think of solutions to something.
The solution is admit that you don't need these fucking controllers for anything. Put the games on a pack and release it and try to make the money back.
Do like a party pack with Cornhole, Breakout. Do like certain
All of them.
PAX?
Can't wait to play that fucking pool game.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, that pool game, to include that as well. Okay, we moving on?
Yes. I'm getting cranky and hungry, and I need to pick up my medicine.
Okay. This is one effect of the health crisis going on publicly, the certain health crisis, is that movies have been pushed back. They've also stopped production of movies.
Right.
All Disney live action stuff has been pushed back. They pushed back production of Netflix shows like Stranger Things. Season 4 has been pushed, but they halted production on that. And this stuff might not get started again for another maybe 2 months. The first one ahead of the curve was the James Bond movie. Was supposed to come out in like a few weeks in April. That was before everyone was like, okay, we're not taking our chance. We're moving back to November. But then everything else followed. Fast and Furious pushed back a whole year from April. And I hadn't remembered something that big of a movie that got pushed back a whole year, except for the Harry Potter part 2, I think, of the last movie, pushed back like 8 to 10 months. They pushed it way back to make sure they were both going to be in the same year, like 6 months apart. Then they pushed it back another 6 months to make sure they were separate parts, separate years. That was the only thing I can remember that was that significant, that was finished at least, that they weren't still working on. So what's going to happen with entertainment is going to be interesting, because there's going to be a slower drip of entertainment on all stream mediums and in terms of stuff coming out, because things aren't going to get released in theaters. And in theaters, Regal announced yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago, that they were closing all the theaters in the U.S. And Regal's one of the biggest chains.
Yeah, we got an email from The Lot, our local theater, saying that they were closed, but we could still order food to go for 15% off.
Lot, I like The Lot. Your food's a little pricey to begin with, but thank you for that.
Yeah. Good food, but it is expensive.
It's like a fancy... Bring Vani out for a nice meal there. It's a nice restaurant. Oh, I'm not saying... Okay, go ahead. I'm just saying. I do. Fuck you, pal. I'm not taking her to McDonald's. I'm just saying, like... I've taken a date out there.
Many times.
It's like a fancier restaurant for our area.
Yeah, Vani and I go to so few movies that when we do, we usually just go to The Lot and make a night of it.
There you go. We'll do a double day. I gotta get a gal. We'll get my best gal out.
Get your best gal.
Anyway, Ian, we can't bring our best gals out to see Fast and Furious 9. Is 9 coming out? Yeah, 9's coming out. But so what Universal is doing is something, and you think Universal does? Well, they do the Tremors movies. I'm going to mention Tremors in every single podcast going forward. But I think Universal does Fast and Furious. Either way, they're not doing this. But Universal is going to make current theatrical movies available for home viewing. On Friday.
Invisible Man, The Hunt, period comedy drama, Emma. Those are all going to be available on demand. Looks like they will be available for a 48-hour period at $19.99, which, honestly, if it's two people in the room, 10 bucks.
Movies cost $20 nowadays. The Lot costs $20. Regal costs almost $20.
That's not
especially,
bad.
Especially if you order it online, they always do like a $3 service charge. Like, screw you. Like, what? I should be getting a discount.
So it's a cool thing to do.
It's going
to
be on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Prime, and Fandango Now, which I didn't know what that was. Oh, partly on my NBC Universal. Okay, I didn't know that was a thing.
So apparently Universal had thought about doing this once before. In 2011, they said they were going to do it with the comedy Tower Heist, where they were going to release it to Comcast cable subscribers in two markets, Atlanta and Portland, for $59.99 via video on demand. The studio abandoned those plans after theaters starting to boycott the movie. But
now they can't boycott.
They can't do shit about it anyways right now.
Oh, yeah, I still have this garbage on the screen here. Sorry.
That's all right. So.
So I love this idea. And I thought, too.
And I feel like we've got to be getting to a place where this is going to become the norm.
Not our norm.
Not our norm.
Well, $20 is extremely reasonable.
Yes.
For a new movie that, like I said, for one person, you're spending $20. 48 hours, you can pause the damn thing if it's on demand. You can rewind it, and you can watch it again.
Yeah.
And maybe you make it a thing. You invite a few friends over. You make popcorn. You make it like a little mini party. I love this idea. I guess pissing off the movie theaters is why other people didn't do this. But you imagine if, like, instead of trudging to the theater on opening night to see Avengers, man, we saw Infinity War at like 11 at night. We got out like 1:30 in the morning, and I sat up close like that. My TV's fine. I got decent sound. I would have spent $20 and watched it at home.
Yeah.
I would have done it. Now, it doesn't include trailers, though, and I always think trailers is a good part of the movie-going experience.
It is.
Is it trailers? Give me a block of trailers and I'm in. Give me this. Maybe it can all be Universal. Give me some trailers.
I was actually kind of excited about the idea, and then I looked at the movies that they're putting out, and I'm like, I don't really want to see any of these. I'd maybe see Invisible Man, but...
I thought it was a solid word on Invisible Man. Is it on Rotten Tomatoes, Invisible Man? Let's see. Top box office, The Climb... they're basically... Human Capital, that's a movie? Deerskin? The Infiltrators?
87. Well, that's
91% for Invisible Man. They must have did a limited showing. It made $6 million, right? They must have did a small audience thing.
Yeah, I know some people who went and saw it last weekend, I think.
Okay, smart, well acted, and above all scary. The Invisible Man proves that sometimes the classic first thrill.
It was in theaters February 28th.
Okay, so they're extending it out.
They're current, yeah. Movies that are currently in theaters, they're putting out.
Is Fast and Furious Universal? I want to say it is. It is Universal, Fast and Furious.
I think they're just doing ones that have had some sort of small amount of time in
or
theaters.
Just come out,
right.
So for something like Fast and Furious, it's like, well, we probably will still make more money. Everyone's going to rush to see that. We got to put it in theaters versus putting out for $20 right now. But I mean, like, think about how all of entertainment is going to be pushed back now by number of months. So say Stranger Things was going to come out probably in the summer. If they halt production, push that back a couple months before they start. All the entertainment is getting pushed back. And sports is entertainment as well. So all sports getting pushed back if it doesn't. The Olympics, you hope, is going to still start around the same time it's going to start, you know, versus pushing it back a little more. So anyway, the one positive weird thing about having the next World Cup's going to be in Qatar, right? So the one positive thing about that is that they couldn't do it in the summer. So they pushed back the World Cup, I think, to be closer to the colder part of the year so people wouldn't fucking die. So they actually have, like, extra months to play with in terms of the buildup of all the other tournaments and things since they pushed it back.
Right.
Since it's not, because traditionally it's in our summer
World
Cup. And now I think it's going to be closer to the winter for that. So there you go. So, I'm going to do this in a heartbeat. Like, if they pushed this out to other sort of studios. If Disney did this, I would do it in a second. I would do it yesterday. But I mean, they're probably worried about pissing off the theaters, obviously. If I'm Disney,
totally
though, you're going to boycott Black Widow if I do this? Really? You're not going to make money making Black Widow? No, you're going to do it. I guess it depends on who they are. Like, if it's Universal doesn't have as many big tentpole pictures. Fast and Furious is like one every 2 or 3 years, but Disney owns everything now. You can't say no to the mouse. You just couldn't. Obviously. Ian,
Pat,
we have a health crisis scumbag.
Seller
of
the week.
Okay. If you've probably seen Twitter, social media.
This one was everywhere. It was written about in the New York Times. But if you didn't, we're definitely naming what's that boy's name? Matt and Noah Colvin, two brothers. They live in Tennessee. And they were hoarding something like 17,700 bottles of hand sanitizer. So the New York Times did a little article on them, and some other there's other people doing this too. They said that they stayed home near Chattanooga, and they were
Tennessee.
Yeah, and they were going out to the Dollar Trees and all the family markets and all the dollar stores
and Walmart and Staples and Home Depot
and buying all the sanitizer and cleaning supplies. He was flipping those bottles of sanitizer that he was getting, as he stated, for a dollar. And I mean, if you read the article, like I said, he harvested this stuff mostly from like dollar stores. He was flipping those bottles for $20 online.
Here it says something between $8 and $70 each.
So there you go.
Crazy money.
Amazon actually did something good. eBay did it too. When they got wind of this, just in general, because this has been going on, and they pulled all listings for price gouging. Anyone who was trying to sell sanitizer and cleaning supplies.
Or masks.
Masks, you know, the things, toilet paper, the things that people have been running out of. Anyone who was trying to flip those, they were having their listings pulled.
Scalpers.
So all of a sudden, Matty Colvin here and his brother, family man, family business. God, I want to fucking hit him. And that shirt is part of the reason.
I can't sell the stuff I'm scalping.
My shirt says family twice, so I'm a good guy.
I'm sorry. I got to back up. I like when scumbags try to get around the fact that they're scumbags by saying, I have a family, or they show a picture of their kid.
Right.
Any asshole can have a kid.
Yeah, and the person you're fucking selling that sanitizer to probably has a kid, too. So yes. Maybe think about that. Or just don't fucking squeeze them out. Keep your dick in your pants. Fucking cut the lines, boys.
Sorry, going on.
Don't have a fucking kid. You don't need one.
So there was a lot of backlash to this. Why did this person agree to do this interview with the New York Times?
Because these people, honestly,
They really don't have any idea of how they present themselves?
No, well, there was somewhere in this article, he says that he thinks of himself as doing a service in fixing problems in the market.
A public service.
Yes, a public service. Fixing problems in the market where certain things are shipped here, but they need to be elsewhere. You know,
I salute you, sir, for your public service and restricting the supply.
Yeah, well, that $20 bottle of sanitizer doesn't take into account my labor and my effort. This is the kind of guy who buys something, and then when he resells it, he says, I'm just trying to get what I put into it.
It's my time and effort. I'm going to charge 20 times what it is.
No, you're just a big piece of shit.
20 times.
So this article comes out, and very quickly, the attorney general in Tennessee catches wind of it. And
the AG.
Gets a hold of him and basically intervenes and says, we're going to be seizing that, and you're going to be donating it to places that need it.
Well, there are laws in the books where if there's a public health crisis emergency, you cannot charge, I think it was, I saw more than 10% of a retail price or something. There are price gouging laws in place for things.
There are. So so it all ended up getting donated. That was a big problem I had with how this story was covered. A lot of places were like, oh, he had a change of heart. You know, he donated it. He got his ass caught. That's the only reason he feels even a bit of remorse. There were screenshots of him, like, laughing about the money he was making in, like, Facebook posts
stuff.
Like,
I didn't see that, but I'll take your word for it. I'm sure this scumbag did that.
Yeah, like, oh, I already made this amount of money. So, no, buddy, you were trying to fucking pull one over on people like a sick-sad son of a bitch.
Oh, he also bought, at least this wasn't him going to stores. He also bought pandemic packs from a defunct company and sold those as well. At least in that spot, you actually were acting as a regular wholesaler deal. You weren't scalping things off of shelves there. Other people were saying, Chris Anderson, an Amazon seller in central Pennsylvania, said he and a friend had driven around Ohio buying about 10,000 masks from store. He used coupons to buy packs of 10 for around $15 each and resold them for $40, $50. After Amazon's cut and other costs, he estimates he made a $25,000 profit. So a lot of these people made some profit before Amazon and eBay cut it down.
Yeah.
They made some. But obviously they have losses if they have a bunch of shit laying around still. So the whole point, I mean, you're not shocked when you hear bad human behavior when there's a crisis or potential public health crisis happen. But it's also on the consumer to realize that I don't need to spend $50 on a bottle of hand sanitizer. That if I'm at home, I have soap and water. There's no reason to have a bottle of hand sanitizer. You use a bottle of hand sanitizer if soap and water is not available. If you're working at a shop, if you're constantly touching things, yes, then you need a bottle of hand sanitizer. The average person does not need bottles of hand sanitizer laying around if you're at home. So you have to be informed about what hand sanitizer does versus soap and water. It doesn't give you a layer of protection magically to keep you safe from everything. It's just, oh, I don't have soap and water. Here you go. I'm good now. That's what it is. The same thing with the mask. A regular surgical mask doesn't really protect you. It prevents you from spreading disease, from sneezing out. But it's not airtight. You need a special type of mask to prevent you from air coming in. So you got to be careful and know what the hell's going on when it comes to this. I just think the cojones, though, to say I'm doing a public service by artificially restricting supply and scalping in a time, whether or not people should be buying stuff or not, it's still ridiculous. It's still ridiculous.
No, it's gross. And if someone fucking smacked him across the face, I'd laugh. I'd fucking rewind it.
Let's not condone some physical violence. He's getting his comeuppance right now. And keep in mind, the attorney general just said the donation doesn't mean he's out of. You know, he still can be in trouble. We can still prosecute.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because he still committed the crime of selling it. He just didn't sell everything that he had. You know, that's when the crime occurs. Not buying everything. It's then when you do the price gouging. That's when now you're in trouble here. There it is. An official at Washington's Attorney General's office said that the agency believed it could apply the state's consumer protection law to sue platforms or sellers, even if they are in Washington. So that's why Amazon has to come down to eBay. This is no longer, we don't know what's on our marketplace. They have to monitor stuff because they're making money off it as well. The platforms make money off of the price gouging, right, too. They could take it for
probably why they're so speedy to fucking monitor it.
I wish I did this for counterfeit items, but you know, this is at least a clear and present danger that they, right, realize they have to do this. Tennessee, where Mr. Colvin lives, has a price gouging law that bars people from charging unreasonable prices for essential goods and services, including gasoline and direct response to disaster, according to a state website. On Saturday, after the Times published this article, the Tennessee Attorney General's office said it had sent investigators to Mr. Colvin's home, given him a cease and desist letter, and was now investigating his case. Mr. Colvin does not believe he was price gouging. He brought it up. Oh, there's time and effort into this. And in his bullshit about he charged $10 for shipping. You really think this guy is putting extra protection or sending that in fucking bubble mailers? Let's be honest here.
But the article says, and I read it, that alcohol-based sanitizer is pricey to ship because officials consider it a hazardous material.
You think this guy's following that?
No.
Honestly?
I highly doubt he was telling, yeah.
Or putting it in a Ziploc bag and throwing it in a 20-cent bubble mailer.
Right.
Let's be real here.
This is
not the type of personality that's going to follow the law to begin with when it comes to shipping.
Just because it cost me $2 in the store doesn't mean it's not going to cost me $16 to get it to your door.
Oh, so now he's claiming that he's breaking even on this?
Yeah, you're not.
You're not, dude. You're not a hero. At $20 on Amazon, you're making $15 still after Amazon's cut and the shipping. And then the buyers usually pay for shipping, too. So don't put that in. You're making $15.
Oh, here was the line I said earlier. But what about the morality of hoarding products that can prevent the spread of the virus just to turn a profit? Mr. Colvin said he was simply fixing inefficiencies in the marketplace. Some areas of the country need these products more than others, he's helping send the supply toward the demand.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, you cunt.
You're a fucking hero.
You don't know how scalping works.
God, you're a hero.
The efficiencies in the marketplace. You caused the inefficiencies in the marketplace. You caused them by having 18,000 bottles. The inefficiency is you, sir. You, Matt.
Oh, wow. And then he keeps going. It just keeps getting better. There's a crushing, overwhelming demand in certain cities right now, he said. The Dollar General in the middle of nowhere outside of Lexington and Kentucky doesn't have that. He thought about it more. I honestly feel like it's a public service, he added. I'm being paid for my public service.
Oh, my fucking God.
How far down your own throat is your dick, dude?
Oh, my God. All right. It's sad. You're not shocked this happened. Again, how did they find him, first of all? I guess the New York Times probably said, oh, who's selling this, and contacted them?
Probably.
Why are you selling this for $50 or what have you?
Because I'm doing a public service. Just out there doing a public service.
Well, don't send the guy death threats. Don't go to his house. As much as Ian wants to see it, don't punch the guy.
I'm not saying go punch him. I'm just saying.
You wouldn't mind if you saw it. Well, we'll see. We'll see if he gets prosecuted by the state. They'll probably just fine him, maybe. And there you go. There you have it. Yeah, scalping again. Scalping creates the inefficiencies in the market. It's very rare that it helps spread the item to where you can't get it. The only one off the top of my head was when Nintendo put out their 500 Zelda World Nintendo exclusives at the one location. That was the only time I thought about, well, was there a time where you can only get something at a very specific location where I couldn't get anywhere else? For to me, not saying it was justified, but there you're helping other people get it. That makes sense. But when it's available everywhere, or you can buy something online everywhere, scalping is not fixing inefficiencies. This is not the 1980s or 90s anymore. Anyone can get anything they want online or look up where to get things. You're not providing any value to the marketplace, scalper. It's unethical, it's immoral in this case, and it's illegal on top.
Yes.
You got the trifecta. Usually it's just unethical it's unethical. It's going to be immoral to scalp a fucking video game, but this is unethical, immoral, and it's illegal. You get all three of them. You get the triforce of scumbaggery. So for that reason, Matt Colvin and friend... And brother, you are the scumbag seller of the week. All right, Ian,
we got a Patreon.
We got a Patreon poll.
We do.
You go to patreon.com/CPodcast. Ian's going to get a writing out soon, I hope.
Yep.
He's going to do that. And then you have the full access to Ian's angry video rants right away in Intellivision Amico format of that. You can see how much he loves to see that pool game on display there.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a poll topic you can vote on every week. So in third place, are phone games real video games? Only 13%. I want to think that's because people know that phone games are video games and
yes.
real games.
I'm just going to hope that everyone's like, yes, mobile games are games. Thank you.
And second place, will we ever see another major console that is not Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft? To that effect, have you seen the Amico gameplay trailer? Come on, how can you ask that? They're going to come storming in. And in first place...
Fucking quaking in their boots.
At 59%. Sick day memories? Ian, you're the sick day person. I think let's have you spin a yarn about your sick days as a child.
I just remember, like, very clearly there was always a protocol for if I was sick. It was basically sleep in. At some point in time, my mother would go and get saltines and ginger ale.
You didn't have ginger ale always on hand, like a Canada Dry bottle?
Not always on hand, no. Saltines and ginger ale, okay. And that's what I would subsist on until my stomach would get normal again. Even into like high school, this was basically my sick routine. If it was like the flu or something, if I started to feel better, I would. It's funny. I used to eat tons and tons of ramen when I was a kid. And I never knew really what it was. My mom always called it Oodles of Noodles because
that was the brand name.
It was the brand name.
I had Oodles of Noodles.
Yeah. And it was like always.
It was cheap.
Yeah. It was always in the cupboard, but it was like a sick day food. It was yes. only something we ever ate when we were sick.
Emergency food.
Yeah. It wasn't until like I was in high school cooking on my own, like finding cheap snacks and stuff, that I realized that ramen was not only something that people eat frequently, but it was an Asian, like, you know, it was a Japanese soup that was very popular around
that's
the
like
world.
Their sandwich.
Yeah, I never knew what the fuck, like, yeah, I, you know, I always
not just, everyone eats sandwiches every day around the world.
I just thought of ramen as some sort of, like, you know, instant ramen as some sort of shitty American product, but no, it's kind of ingenious.
No, Oodles of Noodles was like the first, like, giant step into the marketplace because they had a cool name. It's like, oh, it's Oodles of Noodles.
Yeah,
it's like, that's brilliant.
The history of ramen is actually, like, instant ramen is pretty interesting, too. Reading a manga.
When are we going to get our ramen product? When are we going to license this, Ian?
When are we going to get us some
CU
product?
CU Podcast Noodles.
Yeah. God damn it. The fucking health crisis has, I bet you it's delayed wrap noodles.
Oh, no.
Because wrap noodles still aren't out.
Oh, no, Ian. I'm sorry, Ian. Don't look it up.
Sorry,
Is that Meredith Baxter Burney? Stop looking. She's looking it up while we're doing a topic.
Yep, wrap noodles still aren't out. But there is an ebook called Prison Ramen. Recipes and stories from behind bars. I think I want this, actually.
Okay, Ian, your birthday's... What is your birthday? August? It's coming up. Anyway, so, okay, back to your sick days, Ian. What was your sick day routine?
So, it was that... then I would watch a lot of Nick Jr. Now, that was something I did all through high school as well. I would just watch children's programming.
Nick Jr., by that point, was like the mid-90s.
Yeah. I was watching a lot of Blue's Clues.
There never was a Blue's Clues. I was too old.
I was too. Patently too old for a show that showed the same episode 5 times in a week so that kids, it was just drilled into their fucking head.
Kids are like little animals. They need the same reinforcement.
They need the same thing.
Yeah. So did you play more video games when you were sick than usual?
Well, that's generally how, like, my parents could always tell if I was, like, faking or not, was that when I am, like, real sick...
You can't play video games.
I can't focus on shit. Playing video games is tough. Reading is tough. I just fucking sit there and exist in misery when I am sick.
Did you usually get colds or, like, fevers? Did you have a sickness of choice or not choice of a preference?
In high school, I got like a pretty bad flu, I would say, once a year for 4 years.
Never got the shot?
I did. I started getting the shot after that. Okay. In my adult life, I started getting the shot.
Yeah, flu's bad. Flu can put you down for a bit.
But yeah, ramen, instant ramen, Blue's Clues, saltine crackers. That's what I did when I was sick. And then, I mean, I would always try to play games, but it was when I couldn't. That's when I realized that I was bad off, you know, badly off.
Sure. And you probably got sick, what, like 6-7 times a year probably during the school year? Something like that?
I was probably legitimately sick like 2-3 times a year during the school year. How many times was I staying
home? Did you fudge
sick?
A few on
oh,
top
yeah.
of that?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely fudged a few of them.
Okay. Well, the reason I had you carry this probably...
I know, it's because you never called
me
sick.
Because I wasn't allowed to be sick.
You weren't allowed to be
when
sick.
When I was a child. So I'm not even exaggerating. So I went Catholic schooling up in some, from K to basically 12.
K to 12.
So K to 8 and then 9 to 12. So that is, what is that, Pat Math? That's 13 years of schooling. 13 years of schooling. I was probably out sick from school in 13 years, not a prior appointment or like a death in the family. Probably about 9 times in 13 years.
Wow.
Probably, I had from K to 8, about 5 perfect attendance awards. And my parents probably still have them tucked into the report card. You got four report cards. You got two report cards as a kid. You got one at the end of, I think, before Christmas, and then you got one in June when you're out. You got two report cards. And they just wrote on the same one, and you handed it back. They signed it, you handed it back. But at the end of the year, it was in a little sleeve. Here's the diocese, because it's Catholic school. You had the diocese, yeah, the local diocese, and then you had your grades. Number of days out were there, so I always had the either 1 or 0 usually. I think 1 year was 2. Oh my god! And then you had your perfect attendance certificate slid in if you had the 0. And boy, I show that off because it was miserable not being able to be sick, snot coming down, mucus going to school every day,
getting everyone else sick.
Had like the blanket of crusty tissues on like your school desk. It was fantastic. Or just use your sleeve because, you know, you're like, you know, 7, 8 years old. You don't know any better. You're supposed to use your sleeve nowadays, not use your hands anyway.
Coughing to your elbow.
So it was hard for me to remember since there were so few and far between. But I probably did play Nintendo. I probably watched, you know, the same thing as your summer routine when you got up. You get up and you'd watch The Price is Right at like 11 a.m. Then you make yourself a little sandwich. Or like you said, you'd have oodles of noodles. Or we were more of the soup. We had Campbell's soup. This Campbell's soup cost in 1989 probably cost like 40 cents a can. So mom would stock whatever was cheapest.
Yeah.
The problem with chicken noodle soup was there was barely any chicken in Campbell's chicken. You had to like really search for those little nuggets of chicken
fucking
in there.
Fucking Campbell's condensed soup is a joke if you're trying to eat it as an actual soup. You can only
add a gallon of water.
You add a can of water to it and then what's in there. So you're already diluting what's in there by half. Campbell's chicken noodle soup is... You could drink it. You could eat it through a straw.
I mean, there's noodles there. In theory, there's noodles, but the chicken is. And then you had like your friends say, "Oh, I heard the rumor that like they're allowed to have certain number of rat pieces in their soup." Because now I'm looking at it as a kid. Oh, is that really rat chunks instead of chicken chunks? Because you listen to the stupid kid listen to Bobby down the street tell you that. You know what I mean?
Fucking Bobby ate paint chips.
Bobby beat Pat up. Anyway, I told the story about push me in the puddle. But that's the whole point. And then my mom, when you were sick as a kid, both my parents went to work. So it's like, you fend it for yourself.
Yep.
So you had to make do. So yeah, you know, when I was a kid, it was either I was sick because I guess I probably had bronchitis. I didn't go see the doctor. I never went to see the doctor. Just spitting up, you know, yellow and brown phlegm for 3 weeks.
Kids don't get sick.
We don't get sick. Sickness isn't a thing. If you're some people or Vince McMahon, you know, it's not a thing. But I did have migraine headaches that occurred, I'd say, once every year in school or two, where they were so bad, they're literally ones where you couldn't move.
Right.
You're laying down where I had to go home early. My mom would come pick me up if she wasn't. My mom started working when I was like 11. So like the first few years, she'd pick me up. So you go home, you couldn't play Nintendo. When you had the migraine, I guess it doesn't count because it wasn't sick. Your ass was just dead. Migraines, the light hurts you. Like I had real migraines where the lights had to be off. I couldn't.
Sure.
No light. Thankfully, this is what happens with most people with migraines. They get less frequent until they're gone. So at this point, I probably hadn't had a real migraine in probably 3-4 years. They space out. Once I got to my 20s, it was like once every 2 years, and they get less and less frequent. Now they're gone. Thankfully, I can't imagine if you have migraines all the time, like some people, that's hell on earth. But now there's been more treatments they found for migraines year after year. They've gotten closer to discovering what the fuck's going on. Migraines is like the big mystery for so long. Like, what the hell are they? Anyway, so when you have a real migraine, you are shit out of luck. You can't even go outside and play or whatever, even be on a computer. I will tell you this story, though, to make this a little more fun. But at the time I was sent home because I crapped my pants.
Oh, good.
I will tell you this story. So this was... I want to say it was second grade. So it was second grade is when I got my NES at Christmas. I want to say, though, this was after I got the NES here. So second grade is when they started to do teacher swapping for like one course.
Kinky.
I guess that sounds kind of bad. Hey, whatever. I was 8 years old in second grade. Yeah, 8 to 9 years old. So they would rotate the teachers around. to your class. They then, by third and fourth grade, they would actually have you get up and move to sort of, by fifth grade, they would have you like simulate high school to prepare you by having you move around. But
it, you would move for a couple of
classes.
But
in my Catholic school, it was, every grade was two or three different classes, and you all had a different main teacher that taught you most everything, except for a couple of things. And by seventh, eighth grade, you had one math teacher. You know what I mean? It was more like high school. So though this was a rotation teacher that taught social studies, and she was only around, I think, for that 1 year. So when you're 7, 8 years old, you think every teacher is fucking old because you have no semblance of who's old and not. Right. You have like either know older or really old, like grandparents or parents, right? So this teacher, looking back, was probably in her probably only mid to late 20s. But when you're a kid, she's probably 40 or 50. You have no idea. But she's probably a younger teacher. So I remember sitting there, and I was next to Ginny. I never forget this. Ginny, the only person I knew in my life named Ginny. J-I-N-N-I was Ginny. She was sitting there, and she was a kind of like average girl, tomboyish. She was friendly.
Like a Ginette, yeah.
But this was, I think her name actually was Ginny, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think. So I was sitting there next to it, and they used to like double you up. And they used to do boy girl, because it was less talking when they would double up your desk.
Right.
So I'm in class, and I usually didn't have to go use a toilet to do something serious. I usually, when I got home, I was okay. For some reason this day, something was off. So I went to the teacher, and I think the teacher was annoyed because people were talking. And I when I asked to go to the bathroom, maybe once a week, because I usually went during like lunch break or whatever. I went to the bathroom, you know what I mean, or whatever. So I raised my hand, Miss whatever her name was, can I go to the bathroom?
I think I remember you saying, talking about this actually at one point.
On the podcast, I go, Miss, I'll call her Miss C. Miss C, can I go to the bathroom? She said no, and like was angry at me, even though I was like, I didn't do anything.
Right.
So I was afraid to ask again, because I'm like probably... I'm probably not even 8 years old yet. I'm probably like 7.5 years old here. And so I just sat there and I was like, okay, this is going to get bad. Maybe I'll get through class or this period. Nope. It just, something just went and went.
Boom.
It went and it didn't make a noise, if I remember, but it smelled. It smelled bad. It smelled bad. And then I guess Ginny thought that I flatulated. And so she's like, ooh, that smells. And she moved away. But the smell didn't go away. So it just lingered. And then I was sort of in the back of the class, which I think saved me over time. I was kind of in the back of the class. And I put my chair. Those fucking old... We saw those old-ass 50s wooden chairs with the metal freaking legs that could kill you. You know what I mean? Those
Yes, those things
and
are
I
so
just
uncomfortable.
Went, I went the 8 feet... Like, she was there. I, like, literally in class as a kid was, like, 7 feet away, like, 6 feet away. And then I think... The teacher, to her credit, realized I made a massive mistake.
Right, yeah.
Because she noticed probably something was happening, like, or some a few of us were laughing, that they were laughing at me. I was when you crap your pants as a kid, this is the only time it ever happened to me, ever. It's the most embarrassing thing in the world. You want to fucking die.
Yeah.
You want to die.
I did it once in school.
You want to fucking die. And it wasn't my fault, too. I was just in a bad place at a bad time.
You tried.
I asked, can I go? And she said no. I'm like, okay. And so... The teacher, to her credit, didn't make it say, like, what's going on? She realized something was amiss, or maybe she smelled it from the front of the room. I don't know. She probably just saw people. Or she realized, hey, that kid that asked me to go to the bathroom, now everyone around him are saying he smells. So she was smart enough. She's probably like a 27-year-old gal back then. She went and got the nurse, and they said, oh, Patrick, you're sick or something. And they got me out without embarrassing me.
That's good.
To that teacher's credit, she fucked up by letting me poop my pants. But she got the nurse and got me out without my life being fucking ruined as a kid.
That's good.
Like, from that point forward, it was like no one really knew about it. Except a couple people kind of, something kind of went on. But you're like 7 or 8. By the time you're 14, that, you know, people forget that stuff. So what happened was my mom comes, picks me up. I forget. I don't know if they wrapped a towel around me. I'm in my fucking, thank God, navy blue Catholic school pants. We had the, you know what I mean? Sent me home, and I got in the shower immediately, and then the rest of the day, I remember, I was fine. I wasn't sick. Yeah. I just pooped my pants. I remember for some reason, some things are so vivid. I was so relieved in more ways than one to be home at that point. I remember putting on, I had like my pink orange jams, jam shorts. God, what, jams going to come back? I remember some things I have a photograph in for. I remember bouncing the generic, you know, like $2.99 or $1.99 bouncy plastic ball you get at the supermarket. They had like the big cage of them, and bouncing that in the back rec room where the ghosts were, bouncing the ball And I remember that so vividly that I was just happy to be home, but no one else was home yet. But I wasn't sick, but I was just bouncing the ball like, hey, I'm happy, I'm a kid, may play with a G.I. Joe or two. And I got out of a nearly childhood-ending incident without anyone discovering it. Like, it was like, if I was in the middle of the classroom, Ian, that happened.
That would have been the end of
that
it.
Was the end of my... And I got bullied for being fat or having glasses anyway. Well, I got glasses in... Let's see, a year after Nintendo kicked in, like third grade, I got glasses. So my life would have been over in grade school. It would have been over. I had to learn how to fight really quick. And I didn't get into a real fight until eighth grade. That's a whole other Tales from Past Childhood is my eighth grade fight.
That is.
I never really explained that to you. That's a legendary tale from past childhood there. But yeah, that's my Pat pooped his pants story. So damn you, social studies teacher. You almost ruined my life. Let the kid go to the bathroom. I wasn't talking. Don't take out your angry on little Pat. You know, because everyone else is talking in the classroom. That used to happen all the time. We're like, oh, you can't go to the bathroom because everyone's talking. What if I gotta take a piss?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Just fucking do it on the floor.
No, I'm sure it almost got there, Ian, through my pants. Thanks for that Patreon question, which I wanted to spin that yarn that turned into like a Tales from Past Neighborhood. But that was the only time I had an incident like that happen. Why did you poop your pants as a kid? You remember?
I don't. I just remember I did it once in school.
What was in school?
I think it was the same sort of thing. It was like, no, you can't go to the bathroom. It's like, all right, then I'm fucking going right there.
I'm going. But it didn't ruin your childhood, though. It
no,
wasn't.
No.
I guess it didn't smell as bad. At least mine did at the time.
No.
What did mom make the night before that? That was that much of an emergency.
That was so volatile.
Too much chicken parmesan. All right. That's it for this CU podcast, Ian.
That's it.
We had some fun topics.
We had fun. We'll be here again next week.
We looked at a really fun pool game and a pong game she's spending $250 for.
It looks so good. So good.
I can't wait to... For this, I maybe E3 being canceled helps them because they don't have to deal with the backlash from the mainstream games media that would just crush them.
Yeah.
Once they heard the price and saw the actual games on it, but we're the crazy ones, Ian. We're the non-believers. We're the haters. We're the bullies. We're the bullies.
Okay. Bye.
The only bullying you got to worry about is your investors coming after you. That's the only bullying you got to worry about. Is that all right? That's Ian Ferguson. I'm Pat Contry. Stay safe out there.
Stay the fuck home.
Be smart. Don't panic, but be smart. And listen to experts and scientists.
But if you got to work, I understand.
Yes.
I got to work.
I got to edit the podcast, thankfully, from home here with Marky Stevens back there. All right. We'll see you later.